We're back. I think this is like our 46th episode now.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, of the Bad Movie Vaults.
Christ.
Who would have thought, eh?
Yeah.
Who would have thought we would have got this
far? Who would have thought other podcasters would have done that in a year?
Yeah.
It's only taken us about 5.
Yeah. We started, what, 2012, 13? It's been a while.
But we don't live, we live fairly close, but not that close. No. And, you know,
we try our best. Right.
One of us can't really travel.
At all.
So,
Scotty can't move, is what he's saying. Can't
even ride a bike without
falling off it. Can't leave your sofa.
How many times have you crashed your bike?
Three that I can remember off the top of my head, but then, you know, head injuries, I don't really know.
I'm not sure. So today, we are talking about the epic stink burger, which is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. You notice there, I use the correct term, Batman v Superman.
Yeah, okay.
So starting us off with a little bit of trivia.
Right.
You know that Zack Snyder chose to use V rather than versus.
Okay.
For marketing reasons.
It might work.
Because he wanted to less suggestion of them fighting each other, was apparently the thinking.
Right.
But that's the whole point of the film, isn't it? Sure, to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. V, Superman.
Okay, now, I've said this before.
I thought it was 5.
Yeah, Batman 5, Superman.
I thought it was Batman 5, Superman. I thought, isn't this the fifth Batman?
Batman 5, Superman what? 2.
Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, right. No. So I've said this before. Nud is going to rant during this. I know he is. John's probably not going to be far behind him. I didn't hate on this quite as much as you two guys did. It's still not great, don't get me wrong, but I didn't hate this quite as much as you two did.
Sure.
All right, fair enough.
You're wrong.
So, I can farewell.
You're entitled to your wrong opinion.
No, I can farewell understand that you're going to disagree.
So I tend to review films when I've seen them at the cinema, I come straight out. So this is my earliest memories of Batman vs Superman. I saw it, I think, opening weekend. And lately, in the last couple of years, what I try and do when I go see a film, no matter what I've heard, reviews or whatever, I always just try and go in with an open mind and go, you know what, objectively, I'm just going to go watch this film. Who knows, I might end up liking it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I went in there with Batman vs Superman. I'm not a great fan of Zack Snyder. I think he's all spectacle and no substance, myself, for most of his films. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew what I was expecting, but again, I tried to just go in and watch it. And my earliest memories of this film was, there's an opening scene, which is a Bruce Wayne's point of view of Man of Steel. And that's actually, I think, we'll get to it in a minute,
right.
It's actually quite a good scene. It plays out quite well. Right. And it's quite, I think it works for what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's a good start to the film. It sets up his point of view of events.
Right.
And I thought, oh, well, so far, this film's, you know, okay, first scene, that works. Okay, so this looks like it could be better than people are telling me. And then the film progresses. And then I found myself realising that this film was going to be what I expected, which wasn't very good. And then I remember a certain point, somewhere around about the 45-minute mark, it went from me, like, kind of being bored, like I can get with films in a cinema, me thinking, okay, I now have become conscious of the fact I dislike this film. I went from that to, I fucking hate this film. I fucking hate it. And the film kept going. I think the original cinematic cut is 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember I was just... I was going to sit there and watch the whole thing. I think you can't really walk out of a film and say, look, I hate it. Yeah, but you haven't seen it all. You know, not that I think there was anything that was going to happen in the last 5 minutes that was going to make me change my mind.
Right.
But I hated it. They're having to sit there in the cinema and just endure it.
Yeah.
And I detested it.
And again, I remember talking to you afterwards about it, and you were really fucking angry, I think is what you were.
Yeah, I'm angry. And there's reasons why I'm angry.
Yeah, you were like I was when I came out of Blair Witch.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah, the remake.
So, one of the things we'll get into in a minute is a plot point about a bullet in there that goes nowhere. And we're reviewing the Ultimate Edition, which is another half an hour longer. And I remember saying to you at the time, well, maybe that bullet plot point will be resolved in the extended version. And you said, I shouldn't have to watch the extended version to find out what that plot point was about. If they wanted me to know about it, it should have been in the film. And I absolutely agree with you on that. And I've got to say, watching the extended version, I'm still not entirely sure it gets resolved. I don't know what that was about.
No. So, because I remember when this film came out, there was a lot of criticism. The film got pretty panned. It's got a Rotten Tomatoes score of 27.
Yeah.
So it mostly got panned.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's criticism was that there are plot lines that go nowhere.
Yeah.
And one of the executives, or I think it might be the editor, came out and said, oh, well, there is an extended version and it does fix some of the problems that some people might have with the film. So, you know, when it comes out in home release, watch the extended version. And I'm like, and I stand by what I said to you there. Yeah. That's not fucking good enough.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that. If there's something you want in the film, we think it's important enough to actually show it us in the first place, then yes.
Because that there's a bullet. There's a whole subplot with Lois Lane investigating these magic bullets.
Yeah, which didn't even need to be in the film at all. But
I was going to say, if you're not going to have that plot line in the theatrical version go anywhere and explain anything, then cut the whole fucking thing out. Yeah. Because it didn't add anything to the film. But this is, you know, this is one problem in the film we're already getting into.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm already feeling myself.
Yeah.
I'm already feeling the rage. I'm already getting the rage. I mean, the film won 4 Razzies, including Worst Picture. Also, Worst Screen Combo between Ben Affleck and his BFF, as they put it. Worst Makeup. Worst Remake as sequel. And Jesse Eisenberg won Worst Supporting Actor.
Okay.
Which... I don't necessarily disagree with.
Mm.
I don't know what planet he's on, but it ain't Krypton or Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was various drafts of this. Apparently one version of it was going to have the Riddler and Joker in it as well.
Yeah.
They were going to chuck those in.
I'm sort of glad they didn't do that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who fucking Lex's plot is complicated enough.
I know. How do you imagine more chucking in Joker?
Villains in the mix.
And the Riddler. Just doing their shit as well. Yeah. As for, like, money-wise, I mean, the film made its money back. It made nearly $900 million in total. It didn't break the billion mark, which the Warners were hoping for.
Mm.
And the reason for that was because in opening weekend, I think it had the fourth biggest opening weekend in the US and Canada.
And it had the biggest second week drop-off in movie history.
Oh, wow. So it had a drop-off from the opening weekend of 58%.
Right.
Which is apparently, in its second weekend, they experienced a drop of 81% revenue.
Jeez.
And that's word of mouth.
Yeah.
That comes from people like me, who go see it opening weekend, and I go back to work and say, that was a fucking abortion of a film. And then people don't go see it. But that's what happens. Because I remember there were some early reviews that came out that gave it a 4 out of 5 and stuff like that.
I think what it did was, I think it created a crisis at Warner about the direction of the DC shared universe that they haven't yet recovered from.
Mm.
So, you know, with the, you know, they wanted to replicate that Marvel plan where, you know, you tell everybody what you're doing for the next 4 years. We're doing this film, and then we're doing this film, and it connects to this film. And that works as long as every film that you make knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
If you make a film that people hate, then you've got a real problem because you've locked yourself in to a cycle of films, which is the basis of which is a film that people hate.
Which is the actual problem that Sony had after Amazing Spider-Man 2. The film came out and did money, but the word of mouth of it was so poor that they ended up having to make a deal with Marvel to reboot it again and share Spider-Man with the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And they canned all these other projects they had, like Amazing Spider-Man 3, the Sinister Six film, Venom film, and all of that.
Which is only good news, really, because, I mean, we've said this before, a lot of the blockbusters are making now are just cookie-cutter crap, crammed full of CGI, all spectacle, noise, and fireworks, with nothing behind them. And if people are actually starting to say now that, no, this isn't good enough, maybe we'll start getting some films that have actually got
blocks. Well, that's, like, I think an outcome of that in this year, very, very recently, has been Logan.
Yeah.
Logan's come out to good reviews. It's doing really well financially. I've seen it myself. It's a much smaller film. There's very little CGI in it. That's, you know, I mean, obviously there's probably a lot of CGI that I didn't notice, but stuff you see in action scenes, which is very minor, small.
Yeah,
it's a small story with a very, I think there's like in total it's probably about 8 characters in it.
Right.
It's a very small film, but it's lean and it works. And it's a good character driven story. And you know, and I think people will start wanting to see that, and I think that's the way it really should be going, because I think this film, and this is why I get so angry about this film, it is now, for me, the poster child of what is wrong with summer blockbusters.
So it's interesting that you should mention Logan. I actually think Logan is probably the way it is because of Deadpool. Deadpool was a massive runaway hit, and because Deadpool was, first of all, uber violent, so super R-rated, not for kids at all, and second of all, quite, like, comedic, and less reverent about the entire superhero experience. And I think that but Logan's leanness and its violence, I think, probably Deadpool has a hand in Logan being a little bit like that, and I think the success of both of those films might take some superhero movies in a slightly different direction to what we have been seeing recently.
One rumour recently was that they were thinking now of making Ben Affleck's solo Batman film R-rated, and I really hope they do, because that's sort of what I would really want to see.
Yeah, but then I can't help but feel that maybe Warner Bros. Again are like missing what made Deadpool and Logan work. It's not because they're R-rated, it's because they're an antidote to these Batman vs Superman films, these films that are all spectacle and no character.
Yeah, and I say, that's what I need to do. Another thing that people tend to do is they'll focus on one film that's been successful, and I say, I'm glad to see I didn't do that with Logan, but it's like Deadpool's humour and, like you say, the irreverence, and just start doing that to every film. Because it works for Deadpool, because he's a character who knows he's in a comic book.
Yeah.
Whereas, or in a film in this case. And I say that...
Logan's a serious film.
Yeah.
It doesn't make light of it. Yeah. So it's obviously, it's peppered with moments of levity,
which is fine.
But that's what you want.
Yeah.
And that was the problem with X-Men Apocalypse, and part of the problem with Batman, although it has a lot of problems, is his po-facedness.
Yeah.
I think these other films doing things a little bit differently and succeeding means that we might get a little less of that, and that, I think that's a good thing. I mean, I never saw Batman v Supes at the cinema, and I've only ever watched the extended version, and I didn't watch it till long after it had come out on home end. I mean, part of that was the bad reviews, and everybody that I respected telling me that they didn't enjoy it. But the main reason why it took me so long to get around to watching it is, I've gotten into K-pop recently, right? So I'm a big, this is a long-winded story, but there's a point.
Sure.
So I got into K-pop recently, and my favourite band, K-pop band, is Girls' Generation, right? And I'm watching a reality TV show from Korea about Girls' Generation, right? And they do one episode, and these girls, by the way, they are all under contract to their record company, and they work their nuts off.
Right.
So they all live in the same dormitory. They are promoting every day. They've got all these deals going on, and they very, very rarely get time off, right? And this one episode is about these nine girls getting the day off. And actually, even though they've got the day off, they've got cameras following them around all day. So it's not like they've really got the day off. They're actually filming a reality show on their day off.
Yeah. Right.
And they split them into three teams, and the three teams can select what they want to do. Yeah. And they've got these envelopes, and they open them up, and that's what your day's going to be. Yeah. And one of these three teams, part of their day was going to the cinema, and they got to pick what they wanted to do, right? And they wanted to go and see Batman v Superman. Yeah. And there is literally a shot in this episode in the darkened cinema of these three girls watching the screen, and I've never seen people looking so sad in all my life, and I felt so fucking sorry for them, because this is probably the only day off they've had all year, and they're still having to shoot a reality show on their day off, and they're sitting there watching Batman v Superman, and they are abjectly sad. And they come out of the cinema, and they look fucking crushed. They look absolutely crushed. And at the end of the episode, they meet up with the other six girls who have gone and done other stuff.
Yeah.
And these guys have obviously had like a fucking great time, and these three girls just sat there looking fucking shell shocked because their day off was watching Batman v fucking Superman. Boy, and actually, ignore all the reviews I heard about the film, that watching that one episode of that weird Korean reality show told me everything I needed to about Batman v Superman.
Okay, right, you were talking about memories of first viewings. I went to see this a midnight screening with a couple of my friends.
What, opening night?
Midnight screening, opening night. So I went to see it with a couple of my friends.
So you got home at 4 a.m. then?
I remember coming out and talking about how I wasn't that impressed with Force Awakens. So maybe that tells you something as well. So I remember the conversation on the way back was about what we thought about Force Awakens, not about Batman.
Oh, yeah. So that just happened.
As I say, I didn't think it was as bad on YouTube. That doesn't mean I thought it was good. There's plenty wrong with it.
I know what you mean. Kind of gauge the general reaction for it. I remember me and John, we used to go to the cinema all the time in a town across from the one where you lived, and we'd always have a conversation on the way home in the car about the film we just saw. And you could always sort of gauge what people thought, because I'm sure there were more than one car journey where the conversation wasn't even about the film we just saw. It was so utterly forgettable. So I guess, for you, it was mostly forgettable.
For me,
I think it just evoked... It was just a cherry on the cake for me for a run of overbloated blockbusters and poorly written. And it was just the last one. It was a straw that broke the camel back for me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I've had enough of this shit. Yeah. I want good films that are well written.
Yeah.
And this film just aggravates me.
When I finally watched it, I was angry like you, Nud. Partly because I felt... that so much of the running time, and I watched the extended version, that so much of that 3-hour running time was wasted. You know, I love these characters, and I want to see them in a film. So to get 3 hours where I maybe find 10, 15 minutes where I'm enjoying myself with these characters, that annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
What really annoyed me, though, was the completely clumsy and inelegant way in which this film tries to set up things that will follow. And in a way that kind of makes Marvel look like Shakespeare in the way that they do it. I mean, we'll get into it when you talk about the plot, but basically the film stops for about 10 minutes for a fucking trailer. And it was like, don't do that. Do this right.
Yeah.
And if you're doing this right, that is just going to create excitement. When you do that stuff, it's fine. You're creating excitement for the stuff that follows. Mm. But when you're doing this wrong, trying to set up excitement for the things that follows just leaves a fucking taste of bile.
Yeah.
Because you've not got this right. Don't sell me something you're going to do next when you're not getting this right.
Yeah,
I felt the same as probably when we talk about it, when we talk through the film.
Yeah.
But I probably had a fairly similar reaction to you, Nud. I mean, I wanted to enjoy myself so much more than I actually was. And I kept remembering going to see The Avengers with you, Scotty, and how much fanboy fun we were having.
Yeah.
You know,
but not just everybody was having that cinema. Even when we saw it, that was a good 4 weeks or something after it been released, and the cinemas were still full. And you're not telling me that everyone there was a comic book fan, and everybody was enjoying.
Yeah, I saw it with you. I still remember seeing it, and it was a moment of. You get it when you see certain films, like when you see, well, regardless of what you thought about it, when you sat down to watch Force Awakens, you're like, I get to see another Star Wars film. I never thought though this might happen.
Yeah,
stuff like that. There's certain films where. There's a certain pomp to it where you're like, I want this to be an event.
And it's like something like Avengers. Like when I saw it first time, I went to see it, I think, 5 times at the cinema, which for a long time is the most I've seen one film at the cinema. And enjoying it so much. And every time I went with a different person. And I loved it so much that the next times I went to see it, I was watching the person I was with more than I was watching the film. Because I wanted to see what they were, if they were going through the same sort of feelings that I was. And without exception, everybody did. Everybody was like, wow, amazing, incredible.
The thing is,
they got everything right in that.
The risk of comparing it to Marvel is that tonally, DC has always been very different than Marvel. right? So it is darker, and it is more serious, and it is a little bit more adult, maybe. But then my argument to that would be, compare Batman v Superman to, like, The Dark Knight, which was tonally very DC, but was fun. Yeah. It was, like, a great, fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
And that's what this is what this was lacking. It's not like we're not saying that kind of almost sitcom-esque theme that sometimes runs through the Marvel stuff is missing from DC, because it should be missing. But it's the fact that it just wasn't fun. Yeah. Like, the characters, it wasn't... It wasn't entertaining.
No, it wasn't. You're right. Yeah. It's not fun. Okay. I just found it aggravating.
Well, I suppose we should get on with it. Yeah. But one thing I was going to say is that, like I said, we watched the extended version. One thing I did want to do, and I didn't, I don't know if you two guys did, was compare the two cuts.
I no. barely had time in my life to watch the extended version.
I saw it, because I've got to say, it was a long time since I watched the theatrical cut. I saw it once at the cinema, didn't watch it again until last week for this podcast. I don't really remember what was new.
But I think, I can't remember either. No. I watched it and that was it. Should we crack on with the plot then?
Yeah.
So, the film starts with, another recut of Bruce Wayne falling into a cave, bats, a funeral,
and again,
Alfred.
Get your point, but I've got to say, this first 10 minutes I thought was kind of brilliant. I loved
it. For me, I felt like I've seen this.
Wait a minute. Because the first 10 minutes of the film I did love.
Yeah.
This sequence, which isn't 10 minutes, it's about...
No, but that and then the city thing afterwards.
So the city thing, let's separate these two things out. The city thing is the best thing in the film, for my money.
Right, okay.
This retelling of the Batman origin, which is really only there so we can hear the Martha line, which sets up one of the things that I think is one of the worst things about the film, I don't like. Because I don't really need to see this again. You basically see... They're shooting in the alleyway outside the cinema again, and you see young Bruce falling into the cave again.
Yeah.
And all of that is there, so you can see Bruce's dad turn to his dying wife and say, Martha.
Yeah.
Yeah? Fuck all that. Fuck it.
But I'm going to say that I didn't mind. I thought it looked great.
Because, like I said, for me, the film starts with the whole point of view of Man of Steel, right?
Yeah.
But I remember being in a cinema and thinking, I don't need to watch this again. I've seen it how many times out? They do it in almost every Batman
film. And they're literally doing it just to set up this plot point that both of the mums are Marthas.
Yeah. And they could have done that much better. You could have had Bruce Wayne go to their graves at some point, and you see a clear shot that says Martha Wayne. I don't like what they do, that whole plot device. I fucking detest it.
Yeah.
But you don't need like it either. 2 minutes at the beginning of the film, stops everything before the film even starts, and says, we've got to go through this again.
But I say, one thing is, there's another thing I read once about DC Comics and about the fact that every single issue of Batman, no matter what, it always mentions something about his parents being killed, or there's some splash panel about it.
Yeah.
And it's because they said somebody somewhere is picking up a Batman comic for the first time, and they need to know that this is why Batman's Batman. So I get that. Someone somewhere has gone to see Batman Superman. That's the first time I've ever seen a Batman film. So I sort of get it.
Interesting, Scotty, but when do they explain who Superman is?
Yeah, exactly.
Where he's come from.
So
who Kar-El is.
Yeah.
They don't.
Any of that.
So, fuck it.
What's that ship in the ocean?
If you're not explaining who Superman is, then you shouldn't be explaining who Batman is either.
Yeah, because Man of Steel.
Exactly. But this is somebody's third Superman film.
Yeah.
Bollocks. It's cock. You're not buying it.
Sorry,
I'm not buying the theory.
Actually, you don't have to buy it because I'm not selling it. It's what I
think. Right, so then we get Bruce Wayne's point of view of Man of Steel, where we see Bruce Wayne rushing through Metropolis to get to Wayne Enterprise building in Metropolis.
Yeah.
And then we see distant shots of Superman fighting Zod. Total calamity. Every building gets smashed, you know, like in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
You get to see a human grounded point of view of spectacular events, and it's actually really good. I would like to see maybe a Marvel short of somebody's point of view of the New York events, where you see a human character see the Avengers.
Human cost of these cosmic battles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there is actually a DC comic. There's quite a few actually, like that are about one of them is about a clean-up team that, you know, goes out and deals with all this stuff. So I think it's really good. It's the best 10 minutes in the film.
Yeah.
For my money, I absolutely love it. I love seeing the events from the end of Man of Steel from Bruce Wayne's point of view on the ground and when he rushes to Wayne Enterprises building and he gets there. He thinks just in time, but then boom, the building goes down and he runs into a cloud of smoke that's coming towards him.
Yeah.
All that stuff is great. It's iconic. Yeah. It's big. The scale is big, but it's also small. It's grounded, but it's also majestic.
Yeah.
I saw this first 10 minutes and I thought, I am in for a spectacular fucking ride.
Right.
I can't wait.
All right, and, then, and that's exactly a point at which I think we're not going to agree on anything again.
And during that sequence, one of the workers gets his legs crushed. Yeah. So just bear that in mind, because there's the beginnings of another subplot.
One of many.
And that again, gets spun mind into the you, film. Though, again, you say that, but at least rather than Jupiter ascending, these plot threads do come back into it.
So this might not be great.
I'm not arguing this being better than Jupiter Ascending is your defence.
I'm just saying, at least someone was thinking at some point.
Yeah, I take your point. Okay, so there's some exposition.
That makes it a masterpiece. I'm not saying that.
At least things at this point are being set up rather than just being thrown in. I get that. Yeah. The point is that most of the subplots in this film don't go anywhere or add anything.
No, agreed.
That's the biggest problem.
Agreed. Somebody help me.
But then, so next we get a scene, jumps to the other side of the planet. And we get a scene in the Indian Ocean where some locals swim into the ocean and find a meteor.
Yeah.
Okay. That's from. There was that dubstep machine that they had in Man of Steel.
What do they call it? The World Engine or something. No, fuck if I
can't remember. There was two ships either side of the planet and they were causing tectonic or other. They were making stuff go blowy uppy.
Yeah.
And that was happening.
Yeah.
So they basically found some kryptonite in the meteor from part of the ship.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah.
At all.
But they just carry it on the ship.
For
reasons.
Because
in Man of Steel, they don't mention kryptonite once. No. It wasn't part of the story.
And they say that they were using it to power the ship. Well, hell. I don't know.
Stop. Lois Lane, cut to Africa.
First plot. None of it. Doesn't need any of it.
Lois Lane, she's in Africa meeting a warlord. There's a dude with shades there. He's not really explained what he's doing.
Yeah.
And whilst she's interviewing this warlord, it turns out it's Jimmy Olsen. Because in the theatrical version, that's not explained that it's Jimmy Olsen. He's just some guy with
a camera. He's not the warlord, by the way.
No.
He's a photographer.
Yes.
Just so we're clear to people.
Lois is freelance photographer.
Yeah.
So Lois meets Jimmy Olsen just before they interview the warlord.
Yeah.
He says, "Hello, I'm Jimmy Olsen," in the extended version.
Yeah.
He's the freelance photographer that she's hired, or whatever. Turns out he's with the CIA, and the man with the shades finds a tracking device in the camera.
Really big tracking device.
Yeah.
It's as big as the camera.
And even at this point, I'm like, okay, so she's there interviewing someone, I get that. Jimmy Olsen's there, but he's actually a spy for the CIA. But I thought the dude with the shades was also a spy, so who's he with? He's found another spy in the same group, and I'm already getting like, okay, I don't know where any of this is going. It doesn't really add up. The guy with the shades and his men kill all the warlord's guys.
Yeah.
They shoot them with their guns. Meanwhile, she gets kidnapped and dragged into the building. And then they're going to do a drone strike, aren't they, on the place and kill Lois. She's going to be a fatality, a casualty in war to take out this warlord.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the dudes with the guy with the shades and his mates, they all zip off on bikes. And Superman turns up, destroys the drone, and rescues Lois, seemingly killing the warlord by punching him through about 8 walls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happens. So now Lois has been saved by Superman.
In the context of this scene, as it stands at this point in the movie, I didn't hate this either. Mm. What I quite liked about it was that it's very real world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've got warlords, we've got gunfights, you know, it's set in Africa. You know, it kind of feels like it's like from a different movie, you know, from a Eye in the Sky style movie.
Mm.
And then Superman's appearance at the end of that 10 minutes, I think is quite cool, because we actually haven't been operating on that scale. We've been operating on a different scale. And then when Superman comes in, destroys a drone and kicks somebody through eight walls, it suddenly takes it up to that scale again. And I quite like that. The fact that actually later on in the film, none of this will really matter.
No.
Or be that relevant. Set much up that actually really means anything to the plot of the film.
Yeah. And it's just, like, so that seems
is a shame.
To introduce a lot of different characters. Like I said, the guy with the shades who's actually working for Lex.
But you don't know that at this point.
Yeah, you don't know why. You don't know why he's there. Why is he there?
Yeah.
What the fuck is Jimmy Olsen doing in there? And why is he in the CIA? If you're going to take characters from comics, you're not telling me they didn't have some sort of fucking secret agent that they could have bunged in there that geeks would have gone, oh, great.
Yeah.
And why put Jimmy Olsen in there?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, they wanted to, there was something I read about him. Zack Snyder said he's an irrelevant character nowadays as Superman, so we decided to kill him off quickly.
Maybe,
well, no, if he's irrelevant, don't put
him in.
What's the point of adding someone just to whack him straight away?
Yeah.
At the end of that scene, you see a news report where there's a lady from Africa, and she's claiming that Superman came in and killed everybody, including her family.
Yeah.
Who she is, or how she, whether she was there at all in that scene isn't added up. She's just put there in a news broadcast. Almost, you just almost miss it. It's there. Batman, he's doing stuff in an old building.
Right, again, didn't mind this bit.
So this is where we first get glimpses of Batman.
Because I'll say now, I pretty much love most of what Ben Affleck does in this film. I love his Batman.
Why is he branding?
Yeah, again, that, well, because...
That's a sadistic thing to do. Yeah, you see, I had a problem with it.
You see, this is another thing, another plot point, another point about it, is that Batman killing in this film. Now... he does kill people in this film. It's not brilliant, but that's one of the things he does when he can't be asked to kill somebody. He brands them, and they get killed in prison. It's like having a bat brand on you is as good as killing you.
But that's just so that doesn't ring true to me.
It's bullshit.
But again, I think the idea is he's got issues. He's an older Batman. He's seen some shit. Robin's obviously been killed at some point before this film. Because he's got the suit there.
Yeah, they're sort of hinted at.
So I think the idea is, and I mean, Alfred hints at it a couple of times as well, that he's actually going past being a good man and becoming cruel. And I think that's, again,
I just think it goes a bit too far to make Batman a character that I'm rooting for, anyway. And it's, I mean, that seems fine in itself, apart from the branding.
Yeah.
They put the cops go in there. And in this universe, Batman is someone that even the cops don't know.
Or
they don't know him as someone they work with.
They've made him an older Batman, but obviously still someone that doesn't work with the police. Or some of the police know and the rookies don't, and they're not working together as such. And yeah, so...
But my problem with this is, in order to set up Batman and Superman as antagonists... Batman's position is that Superman is what he's trying to do is there is fallout from that. There is consequence, right?
Yeah.
And that Superman needs to kind of face up to or own up to that. But here we've got a Batman that brands people he can't be fucked to kill so they can be killed in prison.
Mm.
So that doesn't really give Bats any sort of high ground.
Moral high ground
to challenge Superman and what Superman does. Superman does good things, and sometimes there is collateral damage
that
seems to be unavoidable that Superman doesn't own up to or answer for. But here's Batman branding people.
Yeah.
And I get that they're villains, but he's branding them and they're getting murdered in prison.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like if that's how far Batman has gone, that is a long way. From the Bruce Wayne that we see a year earlier. So this is still, he's meant to have been Batman for 20 years.
Yeah.
So the Bruce Wayne that we see in the opening scene trying to rescue his friend who's been trapped by the girder is a different man to this Batman who brands people. And I found all that really hard to reconcile.
Mm.
You know, I think you have to position, if you're going to make Superman the baddie, which is what the film kind of tries to do, even though we know he's not. That's how Batman has to perceive him. Then Batman has to perceive himself as the goodie. And I'm not sure this is really very well defined. No.
This is that's one of my main beefs of the film, is the definition of what Batman's trying to do against Superman and where Batman is. I get it. He's an older Batman, and I've read the Frank Miller comics, which a lot of this was based on, and he's an older, more jaded, cynical Batman. But in those, the way that's portrayed is that he's, when he's fighting people, he's more brutal. He's more brutal with people. He doesn't kill people. Yeah. He's just brutal. He breaks bones. He breaks limbs.
Yeah.
But he doesn't kill people. He doesn't brand people either. He's just... Yeah. He pulls his punches less, and he's brutal. Yeah. That's pretty much, since I oversimplify it, that's what that older Batman is based on.
Yeah.
He doesn't go around.
I was fine with it. I just found the branding thing a bit of a step too far.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't see what purpose it served either.
Mm. And it doesn't sit with my...
Well, that's the purpose, is that he knows that they'll get killed. And also, it's a thing...
No, I mean, from
I understand...
motivation is that that's another fear tactic as well, that you know if you're going to get branded, you're dead. And that's going to work spread around criminals as well. If Batman gets you and brands you, you're fucked. That's entirely a fear tactic. But I get what you're saying again.
Yeah, it just seems too far for me for Batman. Anyway, meanwhile, Lois Lane, she's at home, she finds a weird bullet in her journal.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So she goes looking into that. So keep an eye on that for a
while. Yeah.
Batman, or Bruce Wayne, comes down into the Batcave, and we get to meet Alfred, who no longer seems to be a butler. He's now an ex-mercenary / gunmaster.
Well, he's got
mercenary.
He hasn't got much to butle, has he? Because Wayne Manor is destroyed, and it's still destroyed. So really, he's only got a house. Who needs to butle?
Yeah,
that is. Yeah, so yeah.
But I mean, I don't know when this happened. When Alfred became his, basically his Q. He's the guy who made all of this shit.
Yeah, well, again, I've got no real problem with that, because in the comics he's handy.
Yeah, no, I was all right with that. Yeah. This is a kind of a reboot.
Oh, yeah.
So if Alfred's going to be slightly different, you know, here's the thing. We've seen a lot of Alfreds.
Yeah.
There's probably few British actors left to play Alfred.
Yeah.
I'm fairly happy with the notion of tweaking Alfred a bit, because it's a fairly thankless role for an actor to just redo Michael Caine.
Yeah.
You know, I could see Jeremy Irons. Okay, this Alfred isn't Grease Monkey and he's capable and he's this, that and the other. Then that's maybe a part you would want to play for some decent bucks.
Yeah, if this Alfred decided to put his brain logarithms into a computer, I'd buy it.
So we get to meet Alfred, and they have their little bit of banter about him being a bit more brutal and, you know, jaded and blah, 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 you know, and the typical kind of Alfred Bruce Wayne conversations you have about him being Batman.
Yeah. And I think this is also the point at which they mention the White Russian. And I'm going to say it as
Portuguese.
Portuguese. Is that, White Russian's a drink, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just an indication of how thirsty I'm getting. But, no, White Portuguese. And I'm going to say, oh, Batman, bless him. Yeah, I'm liking this so far, but he's still not a detective, is he, in this film? Because that sounded to me like the name of a boat right from the minute I said it.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's the part of the next half hour of the film is going to be Bruce Wayne not figuring out what the
White Russian is. Well, he's a modern Bruce Wayne. All of his detective work is done via Wikipedia.
That's not a Batman I want to watch. Really, I like a Batman who's
clever,
smart, and one of the tools in his arsenal is that he's fucking smart and he can put shit together and he can work stuff out, and that maybe puts him a step ahead. And he usually has smart villains to fight. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a battle of wits as much as it is a muscle fight.
Yeah.
That's always been one of the things I've loved about Batman is, you know, he can think.
Yeah.
He can deduce. Yeah. He's a detective.
Yeah.
It's called Detective Comics.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
And now we get to meet one of my least favourite characters in the film. We get to meet Lex.
But they did a really good job of revamping Lex for this film.
Well, first of all, he's not technically Lex Luthor as we know him. He's actually Lex Luthor's son.
They did. That was... Yeah.
No. I'm just not playing.
You're not defending Lex then?
So we get to meet Lex. He talks to Senator Holly Hunt.
That's her.
And he's
and he's talking to her, saying that, look, we've got these gods flying around, and I want to bring in some stuff called kryptonite, and he wants to get access also to, I want an import license for this ship, for this stuff.
Yeah, right? One of his things is, I want this kryptonite because I think it might have an effect on these. But why? What?
You're right. Yeah. No, hang on. Don't they show footage of them cutting Zod's face?
Yeah, Zod's face.
But they don't have access to Zod's body. So how did they get that footage?
I don't know.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. So, but he says, okay, right, I want to bring in this stuff. And then some other guy talks to him afterwards, after he's met the senator, because she basically said, I'm not having it.
Yeah.
She walks off, and this other guy says to him, I'm sure we can make a deal. What do you want? I want full access to the alien ship in Metropolis, and I also want full access to Zod's body. He goes, okay, well, you know, I'm sure we can work something out.
Yeah.
Okay, so that scene happens. So now we've got another plot going.
Yeah.
What's people's thoughts about Jesse Eisenberg?
I don't get why he's playing him so manic. I don't understand why he's the goofball. That doesn't really fit Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be threatening and, again, like you say, intelligent. It's one of the, obviously he's clever in this. He's supposed to be very intelligent. I don't get the portrayal of him. I don't get the goofball bit.
Well, so according to something I remember seeing, I think it might have been a featurette, and Jesse Eisenberg was talking about it, he said that he tried to take Heath Ledger's approach with the Joker, and he actually studied the mannerisms of psychopaths and megalomaniacs, and actually tried to emulate some of those mannerisms.
Right.
But what we end up with, I think, is a character that just seemed out of place and he's just odd.
Yeah.
Just doesn't fit with the rest of the film for me. And what did you think, John, about his character?
So, I think Lex Luthor is the single biggest problem in the film.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily because of Jesse Eisenberg's performance, which, you know, I can see people liking or really not liking. I guess it's always a problem when you play a character that's been iconically portrayed before. You're going to try and do something different.
Yeah.
You don't want anyone to say that you're just doing Gene Hackman or you're just doing Kevin Spacey.
Mm.
So I kind of got that, and whether or not I liked it, I think there's a couple of moments in the film where I don't hate Lex, but generally most of the film I kind of hate Lex. Mm. I think my problem more is that none of what Lex does in the film makes any sense.
No.
Any sense at all. Like, all of his plots and his plans don't work. At the point at which he knows, and I'm still not sure exactly when this is, who Superman is, and who Batman is, film's done. The film's over. He has what he needs in order to take these guys down. And all this bullshit plots about fucking Africa and guys in wheelchairs and General Zod and DNA and all of this mad stuff. He's juggling about 20 different plots and trying to put Batman against Superman. All of that stuff is fairly irrelevant.
Yeah. Another thing about going back to the kryptonite is that he thinks it's going to affect on Superman. I can't work out why he thinks that or how he pieces that together, because they just don't seem to go together. But also, he seems to think that he refers to meta-humans in that scene as well.
Yeah.
So he already knows there are other heroes out
there. Well, we know he does, because later on in the film we'll...
Yeah, because he gets the file. But why does he think kryptonite's going to be effective against them? And is it going to be? Is that going to be a thread?
So if you extract from this film everything that Lex is and does...
Yeah.
Yeah, and divorce it from everything else, yeah? None of that makes any sense. And I think because it's buried in this film with all this other shit happening, that nobody stops and goes, actually, none of this makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
And it almost, to the point where things are so contradictory that almost there are hours worth of film that you could almost jettison because you don't need them. I don't know at what point Lex knows who Superman is, that Superman is Clark Kent. He does.
Mm.
I don't know when he finds that out.
Mm.
It's not in the film, but anyway.
I think he's supposed to be, he already knew that.
So if he knew
before
that,
the film started.
If he knew that before the film started, the first 2 hours of the film were irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because ultimately,
he must have done, because Bruce Wayne goes and hacks his server near the beginning of the film and gets all the information, yeah, which Wonder Woman gets, gives back to Bruce Wayne later, and he watches it and then emails it back to Wonder Woman again.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, yeah.
So maybe, and again, it's not clear, maybe that it is too. You see, if Lex is. if kidnapping Martha Wayne is too inelegant a solution for Lex, he shouldn't do it. You know, it's almost, yeah, like he's got all these plots going on because he is the sort of person who only wants to win by being clever and, yeah, not blunt. Yeah? Mm. That I get. If that had been a point in the film, it's like if he'd said almost something like, I'm annoyed now. When he plays, does that scene where he says he's kidnapped Martha,
mm,
and he's so cocky and smart and arrogant, if at that point he'd been angry and he'd be like, you've made me be inelegant now,
yeah,
and blunt, yeah, and I've now had to kidnap Martha and I didn't want to do that because I wanted all this other clever stuff to work, then the whole film would work so much better for me, mm, than it does.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then I would understand why Lex is doing all this crazy mad shit that he's doing and trying to manipulate people because he wants an elegant solution,
yeah,
for his problem of getting rid of Superman. But the fact that he acts like a cocky smart ass, even when he's doing things that are like, it's stupid. It's kind of like, this is a stupid way to think. You've kidnapped Martha. Just do that to start with. Do that at the start of the fucking film.
Yeah.
Don't do all that other stuff.
Yeah.
If you want him to kill Batman, kidnap Martha, get him to kill Batman. Don't do that 2.5 hours in.
Mm.
And that's all they needed, was maybe him to just say, I'm annoyed now that I've had to do this because, yeah, all this other shit I had going on with this guy in the wheelchair, yeah, and blowing shit, yeah, off. And that was all so much better than having to do it like, yeah, in this clumsy way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would have made the character more interesting. It would have made the plot make more sense. There's a lot of tweaks you could do to this to make it a better film, I, yeah, think, anyway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
But as it is, I'm quite frustrated with it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I get frustrated, yeah, trying to, like, just rationalise the decisions of the characters in the film and what they do. And
doesn't make sense. Yeah. It doesn't make sense for Batman and Superman to fight.
Mm. Not in this condition.
Not in the story as it is presented, yeah, to us. No. It doesn't make... What Batman does doesn't make sense. What Superman does doesn't make sense. And what Lex does doesn't make sense. And they're the three main characters. Mm. So, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, up next we've got Crushing with No Legs.
Yeah.
He climbs up... goes to the...
right.
Place with the Superman shrine.
There is another thing I don't quite get about this. This shrine itself, what you've got is basically like the Washington Memorial type setup.
Yeah.
With big stone tablets with the names of the victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, bearing in mind that Superman, partway responsible for all these people dying, why have they got a fucking great big statue of Superman sat next to it? The last thing you
want to fucking see. This is something else I do not understand about the universe they've tried to fast track and create, because this is a sequel to Man of Steel, right?
Mm.
And Man of Steel was an origin film. Superman, it was his arrival in front of the people of Earth.
Yeah.
You know, it was him becoming Superman and becoming known, right?
Yeah.
So, at this point in Batman vs Superman, he's been around for about a year.
Yeah.
So he's not like a superhero that's been around for a generation that people identify as. Because this film seems to want to have its cake and eat you with Superman. Mm. They want to have him be this iconic, established character in this universe.
Mm.
That's got his statue, that he's revered, yeah, and people love him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you've got senators pointing their fingers at him, saying, you need to be controlled, and, yeah, and we don't want you. But at the same time, they've got these monuments for him.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, is he established, and do people love him, or do people fear him because they don't understand him?
Right.
But the film seems to want to,
again, yeah,
scene by scene, what's both.
We love him, we hate him.
Yeah, and I don't understand what they're trying to do with the character.
Yeah.
They've got him fundamentally wrong at the moment, because he is a good guy. He does go around, you see a montage somewhere in the film.
Saving people.
Goes to Russia, he saves astronauts who are exploding things. He saves people in Mexico.
Saves
he saves
people all over the world. Fire,
but in the US, the Senate are demanding to speak to him for reasons.
And they
because of Africa.
They almost,
but there's no real proof.
They almost don't like the idea of him saving people anywhere. That montage is intercut with people saying he shouldn't be allowed to unilaterally do stuff in around the world. What, save people?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
it does not. This fundamentally doesn't make sense to me. What Superman is to these people?
Don't you understand? Quite.
Is he a villain? Are people scared of him, or do people love him?
Yeah.
Because everything he seems to do is selfless. He saves people. Yeah. He goes around the world and saves people. What's your problem?
He should just save Americans, damn it.
Yeah, and there's even a line in there that say, well, he's wearing two thirds of the American flag on his chest, so he's American.
What? The thing is, as well, the counterpoint to that is Batman.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you're putting Batman and Superman in a film, Batman's the character that people should fear and distrust.
Yeah.
Because of his methods. Superman is the guy everybody loves.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you set up? And then isn't it more interesting for Batman to be the lone objector saying, but actually, Superman, you're causing harm when you cause good, and which is outweighing which. It kind of feels like it wants to, it doesn't really know. The film doesn't know who Batman is and who Superman is.
We're talking about more of it, what we've got.
Yeah. Oh, no, that happens. Right, okay. The guy sprays false god on Superman's chest.
Yeah.
And then we move on. We do need to move on here because there's so much going on here.
Again, sorry.
It's fine. With the Batman. Let's mix the senator again. She comes to his house.
Right.
They're talking about his dad. And he says, oh, if there's one thing I'd change in this room, it would be that painting of angels versus demons. And we all know that demons come from above and stuff like that. He's trying to make some. The film tries to pepper and tries to be more intelligent than it is by doing analogies about man versus God. It never really comes together. I don't think it particularly works myself. It feels very clumsy. But that's what he tries to talk about. And he's saying that he brings up the thing about that Superman. They're talking about the corruption of power and all this sort of stuff, and that she needs to get on board with his thinking. But at this point, really, I still don't understand what Lex's problem is. I know he's the villain of the film. He's Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
But at no point does he really explain to me.
Does he want to get rid of Superman?
Or does he want to get rid of Batman?
And if he wants to get rid of both of them, why does it... Like I say, they need to just put this thing in about how he wants to do it. He wants to do it by manipulating other people. He doesn't want to get his hands dirty. Yeah. He wants to do it in a clever way. If the film was more explicit about that, you would be more accepting of these subplots, because ultimately, you don't need them.
Yeah.
You don't need any of this shit Holly Hunter stuff.
No,
you don't need any of this Senate hearing stuff. For the last hour of the film, none of that stuff needs to have happened to set up the last hour of the film at all. Yeah. It's all done with at the 90-minute mark. So what it's done is wasted 90 minutes, nearly 90 minutes, because it's not going to be relevant.
Yeah, well, that scene you keep referencing about Lex saying to Superman, I've kidnapped your mum, doesn't happen until the 2-hour mark in that.
Exactly.
Episode. It's like 2 hours.
Almost everything of that, and that's the problem, is that one scene makes most of that 2 hours that came before irrelevant.
Yeah. The senator says to Lex, I'm not going to give you an import licence for your kryptonite. And he makes some empty threat about some piss in a jar or something like that. And then so they part ways. Obviously he's, you know,
what if the whole first 2 hours of the film had been a usual suspect style way of finding out that Clark Kent is Superman? Then the film would have been, it's like, he's doing all these little different things. Not necessarily what happens in the film, but loads of different things. And the whole thing comes to just trying to find out who he is, because once he knows who he is,
he can threaten him. Yeah.
And then that kind of makes sense and is elegant, and none of this works.
No.
Narratively works at all.
No. Well, up next comes a pivotal scene in the film. Lex holds a dinner party where he invites the big and the brave of Metropolis.
Right, and again, there's a scene here that just baffles. There's one bit in it I really like, one bit in it I really fucking hate. And the bit I really like is when Clark and Bruce are talking and Alfred's talking to him from his earpiece and Clark can hear him. That I really liked. He can hear Alfred talking to him from the earpiece.
Yeah.
I think it was very nicely done. Doesn't tip his hat too much.
Yeah.
It's not made obvious, but I like it. Really cool. The bit I really hate is when he wheels up and he gets to the party and Bruce Wayne comes up and he turns around and says, who's that? Who's that? You're a reporter and you work for Metropolis. Now, okay, you work in Metropolis and he works in Gotham. But later on we find out that they're literally next to each other. So you're telling me you don't know who the most famous billionaire in Gotham is?
Yeah.
When he's literally there.
In this universe, Wayne Enterprises is supposed to be like the Apple or Google of that world. He's the biggest company and he's the owner. And you're a reporter, you don't know who Bruce Wayne is.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't... Okay, whatever. It's just... It's those little things where it irritates.
Yeah.
But they have a party, you're right, the two meet, and it's supposed to... This scene, for me, feels like it was filmed to be a monumental moment. It's because these two characters, finally, in cinema history, are meeting.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like that at all. Just feels like two guys meeting.
It does to Lex, because he goes in and does a big... Yeah.
There's, oh, look, it's meeting for the first time. I love putting people together.
There is
like Kent meets Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, but
it's like, oh, shut up.
There is that one
bit. This isn't a thing, it's not an event.
When he shakes Clark's hand, and he goes, well, you do not want to pick a fight with this man. Does he know then that he's Superman?
Yes, he does. He does, because Bruce Wayne will go downstairs and get that information off the server, which he unencrypts later.
Right.
So he does know at this point who they both are.
Right.
But... So?
No.
Lex gives a little creaky speech about man versus God, and he loses his train of thought in front of everyone. He has a little weird twitchy moment.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne...
I found this scene really annoying, can I just say?
Sure.
Because what happens is, Bruce is going downstairs, isn't he, to go and get the thing, and as he's going downstairs, we keep hearing Lex's speech... Loud. We go to Lex, we hear a bit of his speech loud, then we follow Bruce, and we're hearing a little bit of his speech quiet. I actually made a point of listening to that speech, and none of it makes any fucking sense at all. It's just a random collection of words.
Sure.
It actually doesn't work. It literally, don't know what it's saying.
I'll have to go back and watch it.
Because he does lose his train of thought at one point, but it's literally just a bunch of... Unconnected.
Yeah.
You mean,
so if I listen back now, I'll be watching
Apple Granddad
cheeseburgers, computers, downstairs, toilet paper,
premium bonds.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne attaches a dongle thingy to the server, goes back upstairs. Meanwhile, a tall woman is looking at Bruce Wayne and watching him. Right, okay, yeah, she's clearly Wonder Woman. Right, okay, enough. You know, and then they chat. He then goes back down to get his dongle Oozits and finds out that this woman's stolen it, Wonder Woman's taken it, and she's run off. Goes off in a car.
So, here's the thing. If you attach a dongle Oozit...
Yeah.
I'm not massively big on computers.
Sure.
No.
If you attach a dongle Oozit to a server... Is he going to download this one secret file that you need about metahumans?
Well, he's Batman.
He could have programmed it to search for files with a certain name, but who knows?
Yeah, what you don't understand is, he's Batman.
There you go. I'm okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah, no. So she's run off with his data that he's stolen. So she's now got the stolen data. Off she goes.
Okay.
End scene. Oh no, wait, this is where Superman, he decides to scarper. He goes to follow Bruce Wayne down into the server room, but then he sees a news report that in Mexico some shit's gone sideways.
Girls in a building, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So he goes off and saves her, right? And then we get a bit of a montage there where we hear Congress talking about Superman goes, is it right for someone to just go around helping people and saving them? Is that right?
Yes.
Do you understand?
If he has the power to do it,
yeah.
I think for me that's pretty much clear cut as it gets.
I wanted that girl. I was watching that news report and I wanted to watch her burn.
Yeah.
That girl wasn't white enough for me.
Spoiled my Friday night. That girl wasn't American enough for us to be saved.
Popcorn.
And this is that, I said it before, but this is one of my fundamental problems with, is that I don't understand what people want of Superman. Because he's doing good.
And his mum will do a speech to him at one point saying, be their hero or don't be anything to him, you don't owe him anything. I kind of think, it's like you say, this one film wants to have its cake and eat it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what?
It wants to lay all of the world, today's real world problems and accountability and all that stuff and our society, how they question everything about whether it's right to help or intervene with another country and all this sort of stuff, and lay that on a superhero who if he exists in the real world and was almost omnipotent, but was fundamentally good, and all he did was good things, it just doesn't add up to me. And I don't get Batman's argument that he has round about now, where he has an argument with Alfred where he says, you know, we've got this being here now who's brought calamity to us. Well, yeah, he was here and bad guys came to him. Okay, right, okay. So, yeah, there is some accountability there. But if there's only a 1% chance that he's evil, we need to kill him.
Yeah.
What? I do not understand that argument. The film will try to, through the course of the film, try and explain that point of view to me, but I will never understand it.
Again, I get that. Because, again, in the comics, Batman is the dude, and right. He's got plans for dealing with everyone, and Superman wouldn't be any different. He's got that thing. If Superman ever did go rogue, we would never be able to stop him. So having a plan for that, fine. But I don't think... He seems to want to do it now.
Yeah, but that's it.
That's what he says. Yeah. If there's a 1% chance he's evil. Not if there's a 1% chance he could become evil in the future. Yeah. That's not what he says.
Yeah.
He says if there's a 1% chance he's evil.
Yeah, yeah. But there's no evidence to support that.
No.
All he does is help people. I keep saying it. He helps people. Yet the American government want to stop him somehow.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor has got a beef with him, which I don't quite understand. And Batman, just from the beginning of this film, I get that his building got destroyed in the events of the Man of Steel when his friend got killed in the building. And that stuff happened. I get that. And obviously, I think he wants to... I can understand if he said, I want to meet Superman and I want to confront him about it.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a problem.
I get that.
I've got a big problem as well, right? We're meant to believe that Batman's been operating in Gotham for 20 years, right? So what shit has he done in 20 years? What fight? Has he been fighting the Joker? Has he been fighting these guys from Arkham Asylum? Has there not been any collateral damage from that ever?
Yeah.
Is Batman not partly responsible for that collateral damage? And why is that never mentioned?
Well, I think it's hinted at, because he does talk about collateral damage and other people getting hurt by your actions. Because when he's talking about that, he sees Robin's outfit with the Joker spray paint on it.
Yeah.
So I get that he's got some history. He understands the folly of doing some of this stuff, that people get hurt, stuff like that. And he wants to make sure that doesn't happen with Superman. But his way of dealing with that is he just wants to kill him.
Yeah.
And I don't get that.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Like I said, that is one of my fundamental problems with this film. All the things he set up, I don't understand his motivations.
He should be the only guy that understands.
Yeah.
Superman's problem is that he's trying to do good.
Yeah.
But people are still going to get hurt, even if he does good.
And I do, as I say, get the idea that you might want a fallback plan in the eventuality Superman turns bad, but not to just kill him for no reason now.
I think you might have seen Superman 3.
Yeah.
He's just in a slump.
He'll
be alright again. Superman, he's just in a slump.
Yeah, Superman gets a 5 o'clock shadow and then he knows he's in trouble.
Just in a slump.
That would have been good.
Superman.
Yeah, this is Superman saving people, another montage of that.
Again.
There's another dinner party. This time, it's at like an art museum or something, and they're talking about Alexander the Great's sword.
There's a lot of dinner parties in the film.
Well, that's all Bruce Wayne does, doesn't it? That's all he does.
That's all Wonder Woman does.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne does have other stuff on his plate.
No. When he's not being Batman, all Bruce Wayne does is go to dinner parties.
Yes.
In any film, that's all he ever does. Even in the Nolan films, all Bruce Wayne does is go to dinner parties.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing here. He goes to another dinner party, bumps into Wonder Woman, and he confronts her and says, "You've got something of mine."
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And they have a bit of banter and some blah, blah. Do you know what they talk about? I don't remember any of this shit.
You need to share. You need to learn to share or something.
Yeah.
Boys need to learn to share. I've got your thing. It's the apartment of your car.
Yeah. And then we get... this is, I think, around about the point of the film when I saw it at the cinema that I realised that I was going from disliking this film to starting to hate it.
Yeah, this bit I really don't get.
The dream Batman has.
Yeah.
John?
What's this fucking dream about?
Yeah,
you're our only hope.
So he has a weird about
you figure shit like this out.
He has a dream about a dystopian future where the world is like Mad Max, desert everywhere, destroyed the city over there, which we're assuming is Gotham or Metropolis. Batman is like a running team of people. He's got a shotgun, he's wearing a coat, but he's still got the cowl on. And then
in his dream, his guys have brought him a truck full of kryptonite, but when he gets in there, it turns out it's a dud. And his men have turned on him. And then parademons turn up. Flying goblins. The men are all... all these mercenaries turn up. Well, it's sort of future-ish soldiers with Superman's logo on their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot everybody.
Yeah.
Take out Batman. Handcuff him up into, like, a dungeon with two other dudes. And then Superman turns up. All the men... His men go on their knees like he's a god. He walks in. He takes off Batman's cowl to show he's Bruce Wayne. And he said, you shouldn't have killed Lois Lane.
Executes his two friends.
Yeah. Fries him with his vision instantly. Yeah. And he says something about, you shouldn't have killed Lois Lane, or she meant everything to me, or something like that. Does he say Lois Lane by name?
I don't know. I can't remember now.
It'd be interesting if he does, because if he does, that's a big fucking plot hole. the fact that he mentions Lois Lane. But he says something along the lines of, you shouldn't have let her die. She meant everything to me. And then he punches him. And he wakes up.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Or does he? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because what happens next, I have no fucking idea what they were thinking by injecting this bullshit in there.
No.
Bruce Wayne wakes up. A vortexy lightning portal thing appears. Somebody that I think is the Flash, but I can't tell, goes, you were right about him. You were right. Superman turns evil or something.
I don't know. I don't think they mentioned Superman. He just says, you were right about him.
That's all he says. You were right about him.
Lois Lane, she's the... Key master, Lois Lane's the keeper.
Yeah, and I'm the key master. Anyway, then he wakes up.
So now, what relevance?
So was that a dream? Yeah. If it was, why is it that specific about details Batman doesn't know about?
Yeah, and how does since when's Batman been psychic? Because that's what it amounts to. What was that about?
Yeah, because those demons are called parademons, apparently. I don't know much about DC, but apparently they're parademons, and apparently they're henchmen of Darkseid.
Yeah.
Which is something else that gets alluded to later.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
But all of this is... he's having a dream based on information he doesn't have.
Yeah.
Does this make sense? I was so angry in the cinema, and I was like, this doesn't make sense.
This is what... Because he was decoding the file, and he fell asleep while I've been waiting for that to crack. He's trying to crack the file that Wonder Woman left in the car. So he has that dream, and he wakes up, and the file's cracked. And then he opens it up, and is it then he sees Wonder Woman does that later.
Right. Yeah, she looks at it later. I think the one file he looks at is of Wonder Woman.
He sees the photo of her from
being 100 years old.
And he sends it to her and says, how old are you?
I know who you are, or something like that. So we get that. I mean, what was that bit about the Flash about? First of all, is it a dream or isn't it?
It looks like a dream, because it's like one of those double wake up things.
But then he's having a dream about someone he's never met.
Yeah, telling him stuff he shouldn't know.
Yeah. Does that make any sense to anybody?
I think you have to be some sort of very stupid cunt to put this scene into your first stab at world building.
Yeah.
You know, did Marvel put a scene like this in Iron Man? Did they fuck?
Yeah.
Because they knew that you need at least two or three successful films behind your belt before you can start doing world building, universe building at this level.
Yeah.
And DC, because they're late to the party, want to fast track it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that when it then doesn't work, you are left with big, fat, fucking egg omelettes all over your face. you don't know what the fuck you're going to do next.
Here's the biggest problem with this film, is they tried to squeeze it all in way too quick.
Way too quick.
Introducing Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Yeah, that's Wonder enough. Yeah, that's enough.
That's it, yeah.
Then do the Wonder Woman film and hint something else.
Yeah.
Then do something else and hint something else. But fucking hell, don't put a dream sequence which basically establishes what one of your next films is going to have to be about at day one.
Yeah.
It's a fucking stupid, moronic idea, but also it smacks of hubris and it smacks of fucking... What's the word? It's kind of like, I'm so brilliant.
Yeah.
Arrogance. Yeah. Everything I do is going to be gold.
No, look at this.
look how brilliant, look how wickedly successful Marvel have been. All we've got to do is put some superheroes in shit and people will flock to it. That's what I was thinking.
I just, I pretty much agree with John.
Yeah, it's just, I looked at what Marvel did and thought, oh, we could do that.
Yeah, but yeah. It's so ham-fisted.
Yeah, I know, I agree. I'm telling you. I'm not defending it.
And to make it a dream.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, the way in which it is presented. And then do too much. So do the Flash. I'm too soon. How do you know? It's just, what about him? He's just sat at a table. As Bruce Wayne only got one fucking eye in the future. Oh, you've got two eyes. Shit.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah.
And then to have that, and to have that massive dream sequence, which just tells you far too much about stuff that's coming.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like a hint. This is like stuff that you now, you've either got to not do at all, in which case you have to write the whole thing off as like a dream, which is terrible, or you have to do it,
yeah?
Which is also pretty terrible, because I'm not sure I want to see that.
No.
I don't know what I do want to see.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I want to see that.
No.
So,
it's
bad.
Yeah,
and really it's, bad. And you can't win.
No, you shouldn't have done it at all.
Yeah,
you can't. It's at this stage in the game, you can't win putting that much shit in about what your future plans are. You know, this isn't like a fucking TV show.
Yeah,
where you've got another season coming up. There are going to be like years between. Films, and you are effectively telling people now what you're going to be making them watch for the next like 4 to 6 years.
Yeah.
I think Marvel are in a position to do that,
yeah.
But it's taken them about 10 to 15 years to get there.
Yeah.
And these guys had that hubris to think that they could do it in one movie.
Yeah.
No, I agree with everything you're saying.
Mm.
This is actually the bit where we get Bruce Wayne's speech about the 1% chance.
Right.
We have to take it as an absolute certainty.
Right.
He's talking about, because Alfred quizzes him about what he's actually looking for and the White Portuguese.
Yeah.
He was telling you he was looking for, was it guns coming into the city or something like that? And it turns out, no, I'm actually looking for kryptonite.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm after.
Yeah.
We then get a Batmobile chase when he goes after the kryptonite. Not an awful bit. I didn't think it was awful, but I also thought it was a car chase. I've seen them. Yeah. I've seen car chases. There's a few good bits. I like the bit where he plows through the truck with the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Kills two people probably. But he puts a tracer on the truck as well.
Yeah.
As he's chasing through, there was some pretty blunt action there as well. There was a bit where he smashes a car and then he hooks it and drags it with him. And then he manages to use it as a missile and manages to land it on another car in like the best like snooker trick shot I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Which I thought, okay, that was totally pointless.
He's Batman.
He's Batman.
So he can do that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Whilst he's chasing his truck, he comes around a corner. Well, who's there waiting for him?
I don't know.
Superman.
Why?
I quite like this.
I didn't mind this as a first actual meeting of them as characters.
Usually, I quite like their first meeting in his Batman crashes his Batmobile into him.
Yeah.
You know, I quite like that. It was pretty cool. And that image where he's in the flash, in the headlights of the car, Superman standing there with his cape flapping, and Batman's like, ooh.
That's
pretty cool. I quite like that.
Well, there's some stuff earlier in the film when, kind of missed it, where Superman was talking with Lois Lane and think with Perry White as well, where he's saying, like, about the Batman branding people, and he's not happy about this guy who thinks he can just do what he wants.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That was one point, actually, I did quite like, again, is that the front page of the... Daily Planet. Front page of Daily Planet is a belt Batman's branding. And I say, again, kind of like that, because it's sort of, in a way, it's got everybody in the whole city talking about Batman. And I say that is one way of Batman to get his message out. Again, I sort of get it,
but...
Yeah.
So those two have a brief discussion where Superman threatens him and says, Batman's dead from tonight, you're not going to put that costume on again.
Yeah.
Stop what you're doing. And then Batman asks him if he's...
Do you bleed?
Yeah. Superman flies off. So that's their big first meeting.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked it. Stylistically, the way Batman got out of the Batmobile was good. And I thought it worked.
Yeah.
So then we get cut back to Lois Lane's still searching around for bullet stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does she find out here? Because I thought it was quite...
She took it to some of her friends.
Yeah.
And they couldn't analyse the metal in it.
Right, exactly.
And no one makes a bullet like this.
Right, now, so if this is my thing. If you're going to assassinate somebody,
yeah,
and you don't want to be traced, what's the last fucking thing you do?
I don't understand what the bullet does. This is my problem with this plot line. So the people in Africa, the white guys, shot the Africans with these special bullets.
Right.
To what effect?
Yeah, but I'm going to say, this is the thing. If you don't want to be traced or whatever, why do you make a bullet out of something so fucking rare that it can only come from one place? If I wanted to shoot John in the head right now, and I am fucking tempted, yeah, I would use just a plain old 9mm bullet, yeah, with no fucking... I'd take the reference of the gun.
Okay. Yeah. So you thought this through.
Yeah. Shoot him straight in the head. Yeah. Dump the gun somewhere. Yeah. And he's got a bullet in him that, you know, what the fuck? There's a million bullets like this in the world.
Okay. Yeah. I get that.
And none of them are traced.
I think the film is trying to say that these magic bullets do something in particular. What do they do?
Yeah. They never say what.
And so how does this implement Superman in killing some Africans?
What does this entire subplot do? Shoot anyone anyway. He doesn't fucking need to, does he?
What does it do?
Isn't the whole point of this...
To make people question Superman?
Isn't there a moment where Lois realises the whole thing was a setup to get Superman out there?
Yeah.
To set him up for what? For the hearing that he's going to?
For killing the Africans. Because they flamethrowed him. I think they're trying to insinuate that Superman... blasted all those people with his heat vision or something. Yeah.
To say,
but they don't say any of this out loud. Yeah. They never explain why these bullets are different and what these bullets do. I don't understand what this entire plot.
So Lois is trying to prove that Superman didn't kill anyone rescuing her.
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks that he did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's why his hearing's happening with Superman.
Right.
Does any of this make any fucking sense?
No, I don't think that's particularly clear.
No, I don't think it's clear at all. And in the theatrical cut, it makes even less sense. There's even less explanation.
That's like a 2-second scene where somebody says, Superman killed all these people.
Yeah. Because there's the lady that later on admits she made the story up, the African lady, who said that Superman killed her family.
But then also, if they've shot these guys and then torched them, it wouldn't take much to work out that that's what happened.
No.
That Superman
did. They still say they've been shot, wouldn't they? They've still been shot.
Well, Superman didn't
shoot. That's what I'm saying. Are these bullets supposed to, like, just like almost fragment and disappear?
Apparently not.
After being shot.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain it. This is why I hate this whole subplot.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't add anything.
It's the next bit that's even worse, I think, is when we've got the guy with no legs, the guy who lost his legs.
Yeah, so this is where... So Superman goes to the Senate. Lex is there. He says hello to the Senator, Holly Hunter, and says, I'll see you later. And he turns out he doesn't sit in the hearing.
Yeah.
Superman turns up. There's people outside, half of which are saying they hate Superman, and the other half say they love Superman. He turns up, walks up the steps, goes in. Cool. He's there. She starts making a speech about
stuff.
Power, and everyone's being here. She's thanking all the witnesses, including crushed no legs, sitting in the corner on a wheelchair.
But what is this hearing for?
Right, so this hearing is here is to question Superman's place in the world, and that had been brought on by the events in Africa.
So, and like I said, they were going to kill those warlord dudes anyway.
Mm.
Right.
They sent a Stinger missile, and
the military
were going to kill them anyway. So, surely they don't want a hearing in which Superman can testify that was the case. Like, you were going to kill these guys anyway, and actually, you were going to kill Lois Lane.
Yeah.
So you were prepared to do that,
mm.
and I stopped that from happening.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's that. There's the other thing that I don't like about this, is that at this point now, because obviously the twist of this particular scene is that Crushy McNolegs has got a bomb in his wheelchair that Lex has given him.
Yeah.
So he detonates that. Killing all the senators, imagine all the public that are in there. Obviously, Superman's not bothered by it.
But he actually doesn't look bothered either.
But say he comes floating out. Now, I thought at this point that if that had been the turning point, that obviously set everyone up, Lex's plan was to get him there, pin that on him, make Superman look like he's guilty of blowing up a Senate yeah. building, and that's the reason Batman decides to fight him, at least would have made some more sense than the road they do ultimately go down. But that's just dropped. He comes out and they go, oh no, Superman didn't do it. It was a bomb in the wheelchair. So what was the point of that?
First of all, why does that guy want to kill all those people? They're literally having a Senate hearing about the thing he's got an issue with.
Yeah. Well, he's got massive beef with Superman.
But he knows he's not killing Superman.
Yeah.
Superman's not going
to
blow up.
He wants to join up with Lex in that he wants to discredit Superman. He wants to make it look like Superman.
But it doesn't discredit Superman. That's not what happens.
No, because Lois talks with one of our reporters and they talk about the bomb that was in the wheelchair.
That was lead-lined.
Yeah.
So Superman...
So no one believes that Superman blew him up.
So what was the point?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's what I'm saying. It makes no sense. If they had managed to pin it on Superman, make it look like he had destroyed the building...
The only other thing it could do would be to, from an indirect point of view, would make everyone dislike Superman because he's creating these acts of terrorism. Because some people dislike him. But again, that doesn't really hold any water because it's just... You pin the blame on the terrorists that caused the bomb. Yeah. You wouldn't blame Superman.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I don't understand how Lex would convince this guy to kill himself and all these other innocent people.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he would do that. I don't understand what they think they gain from it. It doesn't harm Superman. It doesn't.
Does he actually say he's going to put a bomb in his wheelchair, or he just gives him a new wheelchair to help him? You don't know.
But again,
doesn't really fully explain that.
Superman
gets moody again because these things have happened. He decides to fly off.
Because we don't see who triggers it.
No.
You know, that'd be something. If Lex triggered it, then we know that was the case. If the guy triggered it, then we know that was the case. It just suddenly goes off.
You just see the guy sitting there, he's looking at Superman, he blows up.
Yeah.
Lex is nowhere to be seen. Yeah, he could have blown up, but doesn't tell us that. So, you know, again, it's not explained, so it's crap. From there... Superman gets moody again. He decides to go off to the Himalayas. He's walking around, he's beardy.
Again.
And the film just seems to stop for Superman. Because this isn't the first time in this film Superman's had a crisis of faith about himself.
Right.
He had one early with Lois. He's had one with his mum. I think he has one with his mum after this as well.
Right.
Where he just questions whether he should be here, whether he should be doing this. He did it about 8 times in Man of Steel, questioning, you know, my place in the world. Like, am I still relevant? Okay, well, if you're gonna do what you're doing, do it. But fucking pull your socks up and get on with it. And don't do it at all, because I'm sick of seeing it.
Mm.
I'm sick of him moping around. So then he has this
this
cringe moment where he has like a hallucination / dream.
Yeah,
where he's talking to Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
What is this bit about?
About saving a farm, but then I realised that in saving my farm, I'd fuck the farm down the river.
Yeah.
And what? What's the lesson to take from that?
Don't save farms.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't redirect the river.
Don't build farms on floodplains.
That's the takeout.
Yeah.
From this one. Is he making a comment on climate change? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point of that conversation was. But basically, Superman gathers his thoughts and he's back. Thank God for that.
Hallucinates his father, gathers his thoughts. Yeah. At least his father didn't tell him, you were right about him!
You're right, Bruce Lewis! I'd be sitting there thinking, hang on, I'm as powerful as all shit, and now I'm hallucinating dead people. I should go and get help.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Lex has been creeping around the alien spaceship. He's found a gunky tank in the back there somewhere.
Fucking love.
And he's cut off Zod's fingerprints using a scalpel made out of. He gets access to the place, and then he has like the computer talks like a person.
Yeah,
like he's not talking to a computer that's giving him information or talking to a computer that's giving him instructions. He's talking to a person.
Yeah,
that seems to have opinions.
Yeah,
this isn't correct. If we do this, it will be an abomination to the world. Sorry, what?
No. If we do this, the Kryptonian Council have decreed that never again will we allow a deformity to be born or something.
Such a deformity to be brought on upon the world.
Yeah, and he goes, basically, oh, go on, and it goes, oh, all right then.
Yeah.
It's,
he says, well, they're all dead, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, do it then. Okay.
Oh, I like the way you think.
Yeah. And he also gets access to the Kryptonian archives, doesn't he? He says, teach me. And the thing starts, I don't know, downloading. So that computer frazzled my brain a bit. I was like, what computer has opinions and argues with me when I ask it to do something? Show me my email. I don't know if you want to read this one. The person this email, not very good to you. Just show me the fucking email. Yeah. Stop telling me what to do, computer. It's like Siri having an argument with Siri. It's been weird.
So has Lex's plot failed at this point?
So
that's the other thing. This is like his plan B.
Isn't it? Creating plan C, because plan B is kidnapping his mum.
So why is he doing this at this stage? Why is he? Because he takes Zod. He cuts his hand, and he combines his and Zod's DNA to create something.
Well, just before, because we get to the intersplice between that happening with Zod's body, we get another bit similar to the weird dream parademons, the Flash, where the film decides. This is where Bruce Wayne downloads Wonder Woman's history. Right. He looks at the YouTube links of the history of Wonder Woman. And he sees all of the old photos from World War One, all that little gubbins. It then cuts back to Lex. And he throws Zod's body into the goo. He also cuts his own hand, doesn't he? And puts some of himself in there. And I'm just like, and he starts seeing lightning.
But why?
You're right, plan C is in case.
Yeah.
So hang on a minute. If plan A had worked, right, which is Batman killing Superman. Yeah.
Which hasn't happened yet. It's still on the cards.
Yeah. Batman succeeded. He killed him, right? Doomsday is then born. Who's going to stop him?
Exactly. This is my problem.
Yeah.
Why at this point in the film, later on, so if on that roof he'd gone, I wanted to come up with something more elegant and I couldn't, I've kidnapped your mum, you got to go and kill Batman.
By the way, and then, if you don't like that, I've got a monster in the back.
then that doesn't work, right? Then he goes, great.
Activate.
I've got to do something even more inelegant now. Yeah. And then he goes and does the Zod thing. Doomsday is born super fast instead of gestating for a while.
Yeah.
And then it literally looks like this failed, so I've done this, and then this failed, so I've done that. Mm. Him doing it at this stage makes no sense to me at all.
No. You're right. Absolutely.
Because like you say, Batman and Superman kill each other, which is his perfect scenario. What is this thing going to be? Mm. Can he control it?
I've got to wonder as well, at what point does he think Batman's actually even got a chance against Superman?
This is all stuff that's... because there is a... suggested that Lex has...
He's engineered
Batman stealing the kryptonite. Because he... I can't remember what he... There was a bit in a film somewhere where he let Batman... He was aware that Batman was tracing kryptonite.
If it had just been a bit... This whole idea... So Lex is a master manipulator.
Yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
I don't think it gels with Jesse Eisenberg's manic performance. Mm. I think it would need a different type of Lex for it to work. But I think if that had been the case, and he's pulling all of these different strings and... And there's a moment of realisation as they're about to kill each other.
Oh, shit.
Instead of it being Martha, it's actually, we've been idiots. Mm. You know, he has, this guy really, Lex is the greatest supervillain because he's brought us to this place.
Yeah.
And neither of us realised that we were brought here by him.
Yeah.
That might have been amazeballs.
Yeah.
You know, it might have been so much better than this.
But it's obvious that, I mean, Batman has... He does manipulate Batman to a point, but not really. Batman gets to that place on his own, really. Like, emotionally.
Oh, the impression is, does Lex send Batman the checks with the... Or he's told the guy to do that, because at one point he says, it didn't take much to push Batman over the edge. A few little handwritten notes.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of says all this, doesn't
he? He also sent Superman stuff about Batman, didn't he, about branding people and stuff like that. So when he was Clark Kent, and because he knew who he was, he sent him stuff about Batman and branding and that it wasn't right. So he's trying to push Superman against Batman. It's just, it doesn't,
the ends don't justify the means. The means don't justify the ends. Like on getting those two to fight, it's not enough for what he does in terms of manipulating.
Does it work?
No, it's not enough to make those two fight.
And it's all. And it's almost like he's attempting to do this through about 20 different strands instead of one plan. It's like he's got 100 different things, all of which kind of contradicts each other and don't complement each other to try and get these two guys to fight.
So at this point, I feel like there's no justification about what comes next, because at this point, Lex kidnaps Lois Lane.
Martha Kemp.
No, he kidnaps Lois Lane.
Lois says to Lex, I've worked out your plot. Well, please tell us what it is, because I've worked out your stuff about the bullets. But what does that mean? Well, I don't know what your fucking plot was. Yeah. I don't understand this. Yeah. Explain it to me. This should have been a moment where she explained out loud, I know what you were doing. You were doing X, Y, and Z. Yeah. Because I honestly do not understand what happened there. She says, he goes, oh, well, you know, something about, I'm going to make these two Titans fight, blah, blah, blah. Batman, meanwhile, I think has got ready, hasn't he? He's trained up. He's put his armour on.
Yeah, he's got his big Dark Knight Returns armour suit on.
That's right, yeah, he's got that stuff on. Mm-hmm. And he's put his light on, and he says that he's basically ready for Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Superman turns up, because he pushes, Lex pushes Lois Lane off the building, he catches her,
right,
puts her down on the floor, and he says, we can't always be good. Like, because, for some reason, suggesting that he's going to kill Superman, or Batman.
Yeah, Batman, yeah.
But he doesn't have any reason to do that.
No. So, and Batman has no reason to expect Superman to come and fight him.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even though he's prepping for it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I think Superman was talking about killing Lex at that point. I know he was talking about killing Batman.
Maybe.
Because then he goes up to see Lex, and Lex says, I've got your mum.
This is the bit.
So Superman goes up there. He says, your time's over, Lex. You're going to spend the rest of your life in prison.
Yeah.
Whatever. Then Lex just goes, well, don't think you will. I've got these Polaroids. Don't try and interrogate me because I don't know where they are. My men have taken them somewhere. They won't tell me, so I don't know. You have to fight Batman now. You've got one hour, otherwise she's dead.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, do it. Yeah. You should have done this fucking 2 hours ago, because this point is, I counted it, it's 2 hours and 3 minutes into the film.
Right.
Our 3 hour film, it's taken us 2 hours to get to the fight that the film is titled is based on.
Mm-hmm.
All of this setup is pointless. The setup, even if he didn't do that, wouldn't have worked. Is this something like the last 2 hours were a waste of time, basically? Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't hang together as a narrative. And Superman just goes off and does it. I mean, he doesn't threaten Lex. Why doesn't he fucking heat ray his leg and say, well, I'm going to just heat ray your leg until you tell me where she is?
Well, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He says, I don't know. My men have taken, you can't interrogate me.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I just,
but he's got to be able to contact them to tell them not to kill Martha after the hour's up. Batman comes through. Batman doesn't.
We saw Superman a little while ago, fly from Metropolis to Mexico or Brazil, wherever that was, in a second.
Again, it just doesn't make sense because he's got super hearing. Yeah. He can hear stuff. So he could whiz around Metropolis, work out where she is in less than an hour.
Yeah.
So he can do it in less than an hour.
Alfred does it pretty fucking fast.
Yeah.
I've tapped his phone.
Yeah.
They're in the docks or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been listening to you. I found out where she is. It's not hard.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
mind you, he's got all the tech and the Superman's not well. He's got his hearing though. Like you said, his hearing, he could have done it.
Could have done it. Yeah. It's bullshit.
He doesn't even try.
It's shoehorned, it's forced.
Well, I'm going to go and kill Batman then, I suppose.
Yeah, I've got no choices left, have I? Yeah. Me and Batman are going to fight.
Yeah.
Anyway, just as he flies off to go and face Batman, this is where we get a scene that I hate as much as any other, I guess. And this is where Wonder Woman receives an email from Batman.
Yeah. And it's fucking...
The film stops. It gives us a fucking trailer.
Yeah. It's what the fuck...
Not a trailer. It gives us, like, was it three teaser trailers?
Yeah.
Like a rundown.
You've got to laugh as well because
somebody, Lex has asked somebody to design logos.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. I wrote this down. Yeah.
Wonder Woman's an image
from Bruce Wayne. It has YouTube links to the other heroes, each with their own custom design logos.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts.
It's nuts.
The film stops before the big event to give us a rundown of upcoming attractions.
It's mental.
They should have put in a fucking advert for, I don't know, fucking watches or something whilst
Maybe KFC. Fancy a KFC? If that's a scene you're going to have, that's the post-credits scene.
Yeah, that's what I thought. If you're going to do that, you have Wonder Woman on a plane and she reads the attachment Bruce Wayne sent her earlier.
That's where that scene belongs.
If you're going to do
it. Because later she's going to get on the plane, isn't she?
Yeah.
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 That's how you do it. You do it at the end of the film. Halfway through the credits.
Yeah, not when you're actually, we're going to fucking fight.
You don't stop the film just before they're about to fight.
Yeah, and I mean, this shit is Aquaman puts his head out of a boat, shakes his trident a little bit, and then goes back into the boat. It's like, what the fuck is that about?
No, he swims off, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Sonic speed.
I don't know.
I mean, there's a character giving less of a fart about his Aquaman.
Yeah,
but I think Cyborg's my winning character.
Yeah, coming
on. RoboCop 2.
No, I love The Flash. The Flash on security cameras.
You don't even see what happens.
I'm going to say the Flash on security cameras. If the Flash did what he did, you wouldn't have ever known he'd moved. Because he'd just be barely. He's moved at the speed of fucking light. You'd never know he'd moved.
Flash does something. Some stuff happens. There's lightning and he's back where he was standing before. Right, okay. Well, okay, moving on. Cyborg. I don't know. The guy from Terminator 2... making a video diary about a dead guy stapled to a blackboard.
Yeah.
And then
a magic box.
And a magic box with cubes in it, and it flies around in some of the worst CGI. It
reconstructs him
and he screams a bit and wakes up, and I'm like, I mean, what? Honestly, should have fucking done it. The film stops, it takes the audience out of the film and goes, by the way, got these coming up in the next 10 years.
Hey, if you're loving this,
if you're enjoying this, you might also enjoy it. God, they shouldn't have done it. It's just point blank one of the worst bits in the film.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, and it's been lampooned so much on the internet as well since.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, so that happens, and then the fight happens. I mean, I don't know what else to say here. I mean, these two fight.
Yeah, a bit of a ruck.
So, at 2 hours, 3 minutes, the two fight. Clark Kent turns up and says, Bruce, I need your help. Tipping his hat that he knows who he is.
Right.
But Batman won't hear it because he's Batman. Immediately starts hitting him with sonic rays. He stops those quickly. Then he hits him with a kryptonite gas grenade. He's weakened. And then... but... they fight. He hits him a few times. There's some bits in the fight I like. There's a bit where Batman has weakened him and he smashes Superman through a wall and he punches Superman. He punches him again and it's less effectual. And he punches him again and he's just standing there. He's just hitting him.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. That was a good little bit.
Yeah.
But then he kicks his ass for a few seconds until he hits him again.
Yeah.
My point is, though, Batman pretty much gets into the exact room where he's got his kryptonite spear.
Yeah. Yeah, he just happens to, yeah. But Batman's a master planner and he knew...
For half the fight, Superman was knocking him where he wanted him to go. So
yeah, exactly. He knew Superman was going to knock him into that room.
Because he's Batman. He's Batman.
You don't understand that.
He's Batman.
So they fight. Pretty much he kicks Superman's ass because he hits him again with another grenade. He smashes it for a bunch of pillars with his grappling hook that's also seen.
Now, I'm going to say that's the one thing, because there is a scene coming up which is my favourite scene in the movie. You're going to know what it is, obviously. Yeah. There's not much film left. But his grapnel gun does seem to have the ability to make whatever it's attached to weightless.
Yeah.
I don't get that. He's throwing Superman around like he's not made of nothing.
Yeah. Like he's Superman.
Yeah.
And suddenly the tables have turned.
Yeah.
Oh, this gas grenade gives you my power. It's like, okay. So he smashes him on the floor. He gets his spear with his kryptonite on it, cuts his face a bit, and he says something along the lines of, I don't know, what? He's actually going to murder the man.
Which is a vicious thing to do as well.
Yeah.
He cuts him. He cuts his face, and he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
What?
But why? What's the... If he wanted to kick his ass to say, I want to bring you down...
Literally, he turned up and started asking him for help, but he started lamping him.
Yeah.
What?
if this whole thing was to put Superman in his place somehow, if the story before it made that point that Superman needed to be brought down a couple of pegs, and that's why Batman just wanted to beat him up, not kill him, just beat him up and put him in his place and say, you're not a fucking god, mate. Yeah, you don't think you are.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been good.
Don't act up. You're all right. You think you're all the big I am and stuff, but look, I've just managed to fuck you up. If you do it again, that's it. Yeah.
But he is actually about to spear him through the chest and kill him.
Yeah.
And it's only because he goes, save Martha!
Yeah.
I mean... God. I mean, this bit has been lampooned to buggery since it came out. I mean, the whole film has been gearing up poorly to them two fighting. They have a fight for about 10 minutes, and it is stopped because he says, Martha.
Yeah.
The whole film and its entire premise stops now because of this one bit of dialogue.
Yeah.
It's so cack-handed. It's so... badly handled, so like I don't remember it. I'll be honest, I don't remember it being such a big deal to me at the time of watching it.
Yeah, but
after and in retrospect, it is.
It's, I think it's nice that people notice that Martha Wayne and Martha Kent, obviously the same name, and I like the idea of using that somehow to make Batman pause, but it wasn't well done, was it, at all? It wasn't handled well.
What did you think of that bit, John?
At all. It's, like you said, they've come up with all that time they've been building up to the fight, and then they've thought, oh, fuck, how do we make him stop?
It's just a week.
Yeah.
The whole film has spent 2.5 hours poorly setting up shit reasons why these two have to fight.
Yeah.
They fight for about, I don't know, 15 minutes. And it stops because he says Martha.
Yeah.
For me, it's just piss poor.
Yeah.
There's a, when he says, say Martha, Batman says, why'd you say that name? That's it.
Mm.
And then he staggers, and then I think Lois comes in and says, it's his mum's name.
It's his mother's name, yeah.
And he kind of staggers back, Batman. And there's this look on his face like, what have I become?
Yeah.
What have I done?
Yeah.
I wanted to punch someone right in the fucking face for reducing my favourite superhero character to a pissy cliche.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Oh my god, you know what? I am the monster.
I am the monster. And I'm going to say it, it was on a par with, you know, Batman and Robin and Batman Forever levels of Batman hate. You know, it was kind of up there with the very, very worst portrayals. I like Ben Affleck in the film. I think that he is doing some interesting stuff with Batman, but I wanted to kick him right in the fucking nads at this point.
Yeah, agreed. So the whole film dissolves, the whole film's premise dissolves. The other problem with this film as well was some of the marketing, because they brought out a trailer that showed that Doomsday was in it, which immediately told everybody, okay, so these two will fight, but then they'll become mates and they'll fight a bad guy.
Yeah, that was a mistake as well, putting Doomsday in the trailer. Because I've been watching the trailers up to that point and thinking, well, that might be alright. And when they put Doomsday in that final trailer, I thought, oh, fucking Doomsday's in it. I never knew that.
Yeah,
I wish I didn't, because that might have been at least a little bit of a surprise watching the film.
But it tips your hat to say, these two will overcome their differences and become mates.
Yeah, because there's a bigger threat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is the cliche of these versus films often. They band together and they fight a threat or whatever it is, and in this case it's Doomsday.
Yeah.
So these two are suddenly mates. Superman tells Batman, they've got my mum. But I'm not going to go save her. Can you do it?
Well, I go and sort out Lex. What's his reason for not saving his own mum?
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't do it their way around. I don't understand why Batman didn't go after Lex.
What does he
need to do? Alfred says, I found out where they are. They're at the docks. Okay, right, yeah. He's at the docks, right? Superman's at the docks. They're going to kill him now. Boom, done.
Yeah.
Saved. Say,
why couldn't Superman do it all?
Would you send the guy with no powers,
who's
just been in a big fucking throwdown of his life, with a super meta human, he's going to go do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mind you, because you've got somewhere else to be. Doesn't Superman go in to get Lex?
No, at this point, there's lightning coming out from the alien ship. Right. So Batman says, you should go investigate the ship. I'll go save your mum.
I suppose it is his ship, so I suppose it's not his ship, but his Krypton.
It just still doesn't ring true to me.
Yeah, no.
I think Superman would go save his mum. Batman, being a detective, goes and investigates the ship.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Mind you, in a way, I'd say...
It would be a show of confidence where Batman would share information with Superman. Say, I know where your mum is.
Yeah.
I want to help you. She's here.
Let them both go and do it.
Yeah.
Fucking let them work together.
Yeah, for 5 minutes.
Or... I'd say it's a shit. It's wrong. But I'm glad they did it that way because this is my favourite.
Well, yeah, because coming up now, we've got Batman gets in the Batwing. And heads over to the docks and deals with something he can deal with, a human threat.
Yeah, and I love everything about this scene except for one little bit. I love the whole setting the trap under the floor.
Yeah, I mostly enjoyed this bit. Yeah. There was one or two things I didn't quite like.
Yeah.
I actually felt watching it again, this fight scene. Basically, so what happens, I do know for a fact that some people... who I know at work who will listen to this podcast who haven't seen the film, so we do need to probably explain what happens. Batman arrives at a warehouse where Superman's mum is on a certain floor.
Yeah.
He enters a building on the floor below, blows a hole in through the floor, shoots up past them all.
Yeah.
As he does so, he puts his magnets on all the guns.
Which destroy the guns. Yeah. Just like in the game, really.
Yeah, like in the game, pretty much.
But I love that bit. Then he starts taking them out one by one. Some of them have still got guns. One of them's got a hand grenade. But I just fucking love this bit. It's like he's brutal, he's fast, he's just fucking kicking ass and taking names.
I didn't, one of my criticisms, I didn't actually think it was that fast. I actually felt the scene was quite slow myself. I thought it was a good fight, but watching it again recently, I thought this does feel slow.
Yeah.
Like he just looks sluggish. I mean, I get that he might be, he's older Batman.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good action scene.
The only bit I didn't like about it was the bit when he grapples the box behind him to throw it over his head. Again, like it's weightless.
Yeah.
Like there's no weight to it.
And there's a couple of...
Too little, too late, guys.
Yeah.
But this is what I was about to say.
He's slamming people's heads into crates.
I'm fucking done by now.
This was my counter-argument to it. And this is what I felt in the cinema.
I'm done. Yeah. Fucking movie, I'm done.
Yeah.
Don't try and be good now. It's way too late in the game.
This scene should have been near the beginning.
Yeah,
they should have shown what Batman could do with a group of people.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. I get what you're saying. Yeah. It's a good scene on its own.
Yeah,
but in this film, amongst all the bullshit before and after it, my goodwill, as we said in other films, was spent by now.
I must admit, this was me in the cinema. Where else? Bit. Oh, golly, that was me. And I perked up for that, and I quite understand why you wouldn't.
Yeah. There's also a bit slightly before that, and we said this earlier, me and Scott were on a chat about it, where Batman literally strafes down past the warehouse in the Batwing, probably guns down about 10 men. Don't know what Batman is anymore. It's not my Batman, where he just guns people down.
Yeah.
I don't mind him being a bit...
I don't mind him maybe killing people in self-defence.
Yeah.
If he's having a fight with someone...
being a little bit vicious. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of okay with that. The thing was, maybe I wouldn't have been if there was less stuff in the film that I wasn't okay with.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, there was so much to take umbrage at, that maybe that's pretty far down my list.
Maybe, I get what you're saying. For me, I remember being in the cinema thinking, I don't like the idea of literally just gunning people down. It was not far off of him branding people. I was like, I don't know, this doesn't seem like Batman to me. Just doesn't seem like Batman. If he like launched gas grenades at them and put them all to sleep or something like that, or done something, you know, or electrocuted them, stunned them or something like that, whatever. Yeah. But he gunned people down. Anyway, saves his mum, Superman's mother, from the guy with the shades.
And there's a funny bit.
He saves her from flames with a cape. I'm a friend of your son. What? No, you're not. Literally, not really. 2 minutes ago, you tried to kill him.
Yeah, you were going to kill him.
Yeah.
You would have killed him.
Yeah.
If he had... Oh, yeah, 2 minutes ago, if your son had known your name, I was going to kill him.
I'm a friend of your son.
Don't know. I'm Batman.
And it's that kind of, like, going from literally about to murder him to suddenly be his best mate. It is a good sort of analogy of DC's fast-tracking of the entire franchise. So literally, that's how quick they want to deal with this stuff. So they're best mates now. He saved his mum. It's all okay now. It's all good. Meanwhile, Superman heads over to Lex's alien ship that he's got.
And those two...
We're nearly there now.
They confront each other and he says, yeah, well, you know, I didn't kill Batman. Fine, your mum's dead. Phones up, realises, speaks to Batman.
Diana Prince on a plane, sees the news report, shit's kicking off in the... Oh, I'll get off the plane then. Right, yeah, just mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. She gets off the plane. She finally decides not to leave the city when she starts going sideways. So Doomsday's born, and Doomsday is the biggest pile of rubbery CGI shite.
Mm.
He's basically a cave troll out of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
He does look exactly like that Balrog thing.
Yeah.
The Hulk abomination.
He's just a generic
well,
blob, a monstery, muscly, grey, slutty.
Going back to an earlier point with Jimmy Olsen, I say it's fine if you want to put characters in a comic book, but if you don't want to stick to them,
don't bother.
And it's like Doomsday, and I mean, it's Lex even refers to him as old Superman's Doomsday or something.
Yeah.
He refers to him as that. So you've got Doomsday and Sting, and it doesn't look anything like him. Now, every now and again, he gets damaged enough he has to regenerate, and every time he does, he looks a little bit more like the comic book Doomsday.
He's got the white crystal
bone structures and stuff. He looks a bit more like Doomsday at the end than he does at the beginning, but I don't get why they've introduced him at all.
But we talked earlier about Lex's plot.
Yeah.
Why do they start making it at that point?
I'm not a big enough Superman fan to know tons about Doomsday's backstory.
Mm.
So as somebody that's just watching the film, I don't get how combining General Zod and Lex Luthor creates that.
Yeah.
Unintelligent troll.
Yeah.
You put those two together, surely you get something that is...
weaker.
Well, I know, isn't that something like, maybe something weaker than Zod, but you would think Lex's intelligence, that's what Lex brings, he's psychotic and smart, so an amalgam of Zod should be something with Zod's power, but something that's psychotic and smart, but we don't get any of that.
You
get a Hulk smash.
Yeah, and that's what we end up with, is the most generic looking CGI monster.
Yeah.
Just utterly forgettable. And they fight it, and they kill it.
Wonder Woman turns up.
And apparently, according to a lot of people online, she's amazing in the film, and the best bit of the whole film. I could disagree more.
Yeah.
And by the time she turns up, a bit like the Batman scene, she turns up, you see the Holy Trinity standing there, ready to face off against Doomsday. I could not give a fuck. I couldn't give a fuck that Wonder Woman just turned up. What does she do? She jumps around with a sword. Yeah, she's a bit agile and she's superhuman like Superman. She doesn't bring anything to the film.
Mm.
What does she do that adds to Doomsday's...
Cuts his hand off,
which turns into a spike which he uses to kill Superman. Yeah. Well done. That's how you brought
it. Funnily enough, here's the funny thing. Wonder Woman's one of the things I liked most about the film, mm-hmm. and I think it's because she's not in it enough to be ruined by it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like she's only in a few scenes. I quite liked... how she interacted with Bruce Wayne. You know, I kind of like that because she's, you know, she didn't take any bullshit. She's clearly as cool as he is, and I quite liked all of that. It was a bit like a James Bond film. Mm-hmm. And then I quite liked when she turns up at the end to lend these two dickheads a hand because they clearly need it, because they've been fucking everything up royally until this point. I actually think she's one of the brighter moments in the film, but only because the film is so wretched, and she's less touched by that wretchedness because she's not in it enough to be.
So I'll ask you a question here then about that moment when you see the three of them standing on screen together. Right? Mm-hmm. When you saw the Avengers and you saw them all line up and they're ready to fight the invasion, you had a moment, didn't you? You saw that, and you felt, this is it. For me, it was when I saw that Hulk and Thor were going to fight each other, because that's something I've always wanted to see. Did you feel any of that?
No, it's not the fault of that moment or of Wonder Woman's character.
No, I'm not saying
it's the film.
Exactly.
It's the fault of the film that's preceded it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the film is definitely at fault,
I'm not saying there's anything bad about her. I'm saying that, like the Batman scene, all of my goodwill is so utterly spent.
I agree.
That I couldn't give a fuck about her.
I'm not
care about the fact she appeared on screen. I was like, okay, you've got another character on screen, great.
Just in the fight.
Even though it was a bit shit, I kind of like the gag. I thought she was with you. I thought it was...
Moment of levity now, too late.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I don't disagree.
Here's the one thing I don't get, is that Superman and Doomsday are having a bit of fisticuffs, and Superman manages to pick him up and fuck him off into space.
Yeah.
Where the US military decide to nuke him.
Yeah.
Why? He's taking him into space. What do you think he's going to do when he's up there? What the fuck is going to happen? I mean, well, he's going to punch him into the moon, and there he stays for the rest of fucking eternity. Why nuke him? Why stop Superman? Well, I thought getting
that,
rid of him?
Superman can fly. There's no insinuation that Doomsday can.
No.
So if he launches him off into space, then that's him done. But for some reason,
it didn't make any sense.
No. It's another dick move by the American army, like at the start when they're trying to fucking.
That's all they do is nuke stuff.
And they've got the balls to moan about Superman doing stuff.
And then, so then Doomsday comes back down to the surface. Stuff happens. You're right. And that's where Wonder Woman turns up because Doomsday's about to fry Batman.
Lois is drowning while trying to retrieve the stick.
And again, that's another incredible stroke of luck. This is even better than Batman landing in the room with his spear in it, is that Superman takes Doomsday up to space, gets nuked, Doomsday falls back exactly where he dropped him. Yeah. Doesn't move anywhere. The Earth's rotation doesn't matter. It's just like he lands right where he fucking picked him up. I love it.
And then they all fight each other.
Batman goes, I'm going to lure Doomsday back to the spear. In the middle of the city, rather than just going and getting the spear.
And again, I mean,
that didn't make any sense.
Again, Batman, Superman, he was prepared. He's got nothing for Doomsday. That wouldn't last a millisecond. That
fight, Batman.
Batman against Doomsday wouldn't last a millisecond because he hadn't got the equipment. He hadn't got anything.
He was wearing his normal outfit for a start. Yeah, even wearing armor.
He hadn't even got armor on.
I was like,
just trying to find things to do when he's grappling from one building to another, and Doomsday's trying to heat vision him, but he can't because Batman's just moving too fast.
And that's the problem. You know, Batman should have been the one getting the spear, because that's something he can do, and Lois isn't even required.
Why is she in the mix at all?
I agreed.
So Superman regenerates from the sun, comes back down, saves Lois, gets the spear, fucking hell.
And he does that.
Yeah.
The guy that can be killed by kryptonite.
Again, another thing I've never understood with Superman films, kryptonite harms him until it doesn't.
Well, I think doesn't he struggle when he flies straight out Doomsday?
He does it. It's fucking mental.
Yeah. Well, the reason he does it so they can kill him off. So what ends up, and Batman hits
but
him.
That's not a reason.
I know, John. Because what they want to do is they want to take all the iconic Batman and Superman stories and jam them into one film. Mm. So what they're doing here is Doomsday. He was the guy who originally killed Superman. That's why he's here. Mm. So when you know that. But he knows that it's going to happen.
Doesn't the dream sequence spoil all of this?
Yeah.
So doesn't the dream sequence, which suggests that Superman will be alive in the future, will be enemies of Batman, ruin all of this?
Yes.
Yeah, don't worry about that, John.
Don't worry about that. John, you're worrying too much about, details. Batman hits Doomsday with some more kryptonite gas. Wonder Woman cuts his arm off. And then Superman flies straight at him and pales him through the chest and kills him. Meanwhile, Doomsday hits him with like a spear of his bone through Superman's chest. He kills him as well. They're both dead. The end. Pretty much. Thank God.
And didn't you really feel something when Superman died?
No, I didn't feel one iota of anything.
Not a thing. It doesn't matter.
No. Because basically,
could you imagine an Avengers character dying?
Yeah, like Iron Man. Iron Man dies. Fuck, what?
What?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Yeah. Shit. Captain America, Thor, Hulk, any of them, you'll be like, fuck, one of the main cast has just been killed. Mm. Superman dies, possibly the most iconic superhero of all time.
Yeah.
Dies on screen. But big sigh of ennui.
Now I've got to watch probably multiple funeral scenes before I can wrap this fucker.
Yeah, and we do. And whilst they have the funeral scene, Batman, Bruce Wayne, says to Diane Prince, we've got to
get together. We've got to go out and find some more of us because I've got a feeling.
Well, no, we don't because we're already here for us. We're all sorted out.
So we need to go and find them because of reasons. Basically, we need to get together because
things are probably going to happen now.
Yeah, Avengers was a big film. We need a Justice League film, so we need to get them together quick.
Again, you're saying, isn't it? He does though. It's pretty much exactly what he says, isn't it? We need to get a team together because things are going to happen.
Well, the reason why
it's the dawn of justice.
Now, the reason why he suggests that is because at the end of the film, Lex is in the ship. You didn't see this in the theatrical version. A bunch of military guys come in to arrest him, and he's talking to some big demon dude who I think is supposed to be Darkseid.
No idea.
Okay. Something, do you remember that bit?
Yeah, there's a bit where
he disappears. No explanation, no foreground, you know, like prior knowledge about what this is. So even if you have, even if you do know your DC stuff, not that I really do,
yeah.
I mean, nothing to me. Yeah. Batman goes and visits Lex Luthor in prison and says, I'm transferring you to Arkham Asylum because he's got that ability. And then Lex is saying, well, the bell's already been rung and they've heard us out in space and they're coming. And
seriously, like the Renfield.
Yeah.
From Dracula.
Yeah.
Seriously. Horrible.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the end of the film.
Has been turned upside down.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's done that.
Yeah.
And then... there's like a lot of endings, isn't there?
I think remember in the theatrical version it was genuinely a bit more streamlined, the ending. But in the extended version there's the Washington funeral of Superman, there's the Clark Kent funeral, there's Bruce Wayne talking about fighting the game of the Justice League.
Right at the end, Bruce leaves the Wayne Manor to go, presumably off hunting these guys he wants to
join. Recruit. Yeah.
And then isn't the very end Lois at the grave site and she puts the
mud on there
and then she wanders off and it all starts levitating.
Yeah. So even at the end of the film it even says, yeah, he's not dead.
Yeah.
Thus making his death even less potent than it already was or wasn't.
Yeah.
Because what it was ineffective as it was, and the film at its own end says, yeah, he's not, he'll be back.
Yeah, because one of Superman's powers is levitating dirt, and that was one of his powers.
Yeah,
I don't quite know what that was about.
Actually. I can't remember. There was a comic about how he came back to life. It was all some bullshit about.
It was the return of Superman after the death of Superman.
Yeah, and it was he was his parents taught him about human death and that he's not human and that death isn't the same to him or some shit. That's how he came back to life. Okay. But who cares? I mean, he'll be back for Justice League. Everyone knows it.
Mm.
So, speaking of which, have we got any hopes for the Wonder Woman film at all? Do we?
Very little.
To be honest with you, I was actually really looking forward to it, but I think I've heard and read rumours online that it's, again, a bit of a mess, which I think is a terrible shame because I was really looking forward to it.
Who's made it? It's not Zack Snyder, is it?
No, I think he's a producer, but...
Yeah, he'll be overseeing, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think someone else in DC's taken over, actual managing a whole lot, isn't since this film came out. Since Batman vs Superman came out and it was pretty poorly received, somebody else is now running the DC universe, but I can't remember his name off
the
top of my
head. And then I guess the other, just out of quick interest, the other big DC film last year was Suicide Squad.
I didn't hate it like I hate this, but I still thought it was pretty shit.
And again, for me, I thought it was pretty meh. Ben Affleck was the best thing in it, and he was barely in it, and I think he stole it. All the scenes he were in, I loved. Did I mention I really like Batman for this film? I just did. I thought he was the best thing in it.
Yeah. Have you seen Suicide Squad?
I have. I quite enjoyed it, only because I didn't like the story. But it spent a lot less of the screen time on the story, and it spent a lot more on the characters.
Except for, what was his name? Hangman, or whatever his name was. Noose Boy, whatever. What was his
name? The one who came.
Yeah.
What was his name? I don't remember.
The guy to show us that he will be killed if they
die. Yeah, I'll tell you what, new guy, why don't you go to this?
That's a gag literally from the comics.
Oh, right, okay.
That literally happens in Suicide Squad with that character.
Oh, did it? Oh, right.
I mean, literally... That is why the other guy talks him into, we should try and escape.
Yeah.
And then he tries and escapes and he dies. That's literally almost frame for frame what happens, panel for panel.
Fair.
I thought the story was like, it was a bit like Ghostbusters, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was kind of weak.
It needed a stronger story, and it probably needed Joker to be the villain.
Yeah.
You know, but I liked it a lot more than this, because at least it had character beats in it.
I personally thought it was still a bad film. Because for me, it was just a Will Smith Harley Quinn film. Yeah, all the other characters were almost superfluous.
Yeah.
And I hated the Joker. I thought it was the poorest version of the Joker I've seen. She's a fucking gangster with bling teeth. Well, I didn't like that interpretation of it. I'm not a fan of the DC films. I thought Man of Steel was weak. This was appalling. I thought, Suicide Squad was weak as well. So Wonder Woman, don't have any real
hopes. Not looking good, is it?
No.
It's not looking good, then.
No, it's not. So there you go, that was Batman vs Superman.
I agree. I think it's a mess. I think it needs the guts of it ripped out and completely redone.
But like a lot of these films that garner a lot of strong opinions, like I have a strong negative opinion too, like you did, a lot of people seem to love it. There's plenty of 5-star reviews out there from audiences saying that they love it, five stars.
What are they seeing that I'm not?
I don't know.
What is it that they are looking
at? Because if I was to look on Amazon like I did earlier to try and get a few reviews, all I get is 5 stars, best film ever, or 5 stars, loved it. Okay, tell me why you think this is a good film. Mm. You know, I, as I get older, I try to be more mature in my approach to other people's opinions. You know, and if someone does like this film, okay, I'd like to know why you like it.
It's really interesting, because as I get older, I get a lot less.
No, I try to be more understanding
about it. As I get older, I'm more certain than ever that I'm right.
Exactly.
I try to have more time for other people's opinions, but with something like this, I really struggle to maintain composure as to why do you think this is a good film? Because there are many good films out there that don't get a fraction of the audience that this thing did.
Yeah, I think it's Amazing Spider-Man 2 levels of bad.
Yeah.
Like, none of the decisions were good decisions. You know, none of the choices they made were the right choices.
I think Ben Affleck is a good... He got picked, and I remember the same thing with Heath Ledger and other people have been put into similar roles. There's always an immediate outcry, and lots of people say, no, he'd be terrible. Why should you ever think? I saw the potential.
I think his performance is good. I don't think his Batman is exactly the right Batman for this film.
There's some things they need to tweak if they're going to do a standalone film with him. They probably need to rein in the brutality and some of the things like the brand and get rid of that.
Make him a detective again. Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see him putting shit together.
Yeah.
You know, and not just relying on other people to go off doing that for you.
But no, what you need to do is some detective work.
But yeah, that was Batman vs Superman there. So I think, Scott, you thought it was reasonably poor but watchable.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I like Ben Affleck's Batman. I don't know if I mentioned that. I didn't think it was as bad as you.
But you've got to admit
it. But it's not great. It's not good.
And it's, I think, a chore to watch.
No, I mean, if I was putting it on again, it would be the warehouse scene. I would be watching
it. Yeah, you'd watch the highlights.
I think the warehouse scene is the best Batman film they've made yet.
I think it's shonky as all fuck, and I'm disappointed that whilst I've only watched Captain America Civil War once, I've now watched this film twice. That's not right.
Right, well, we better wrap this
up. Why didn't we make the good movie, folks?
I cried this.
Something I often ask myself is why we did not do that.
Yeah. Let's do a special edition where next week we'll discuss the Avengers. Let's do that. Everything that they should do right in a film.
Right, well, let's wrap this up because we've been going for over 2 hours. So that's been Batman vs Superman. Hated it. Mm. Anyway, next time we're going to be back for, I think, one of your films, John.
So we're going to all sit and watch a film and talk about it together like we did in our last amazing, almost, live episode, Death Machines. We're going to do the same thing again, although I think some of you guys have seen this. We're going to watch Zombie Holocaust, a.k.a. Dr. Butcher MD, which is an Italian potboiler from 1980 that combines the two, everyone's two favourite Italian horror genres, zombies and cannibals. So Zombie Holocaust, next time on the Bad Movie Vaults.
Awesome.
Join us, won't you?
Bow.
Bow.